I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill. It don't get much more live than this.
You got that right.
I'm Rick Angies.
Craig Clark. Al Gore returns once again.
It's getting hot in here.
I'm telling you. It's going to get hotter, too. Yeah.
Inconvenient truth.
There's a lot of them in stock car races, ain't there?
Oh, yeah, there
there's
he
a
is.
Few. There's a few.
Yeah, you have a NASCAR race. Now, you know that the camouflage cars are going to win. It's Memorial Day. This is NASCAR. They have to win.
But there was a problem with
that. Preordained.
But the camouflage
them?
Cars were running
oh,
into each other.
The show just went to hell.
How can you see them?
There it went.
How can you see them?
Oh, look, we just got done scanning. No, we don't need to display the results.
Rick. Not you, Rick.
Oh.
Rick Ariama, have a seat, man, and pull up a microphone.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good.
Turn your switch on.
Hey, Rick.
Don't worry about it.
Don't have to worry about it. How y'all doing tonight?
Good. We're doing good.
We're
Rick,
here.
We got a problem. You know, on July 24th, we're going to have the Sunshine Reunion Party, which was dreamed up by Rick Angies one night after he had few too many Budweisers. So
I started having a flashback.
Yeah, I asked them tonight how many people this place seated. They said it was the fire marshal was 216.
We may have to do this in the parking lot.
So I think we're going to break their laws.
I am getting emails from all over
the
country.
We can try to push that.
I think we will, because, you know, we've been, Rick and Bill Green and those guys particularly have been talking to a lot of people, and we already know that we already have 50 people lined up.
Really, right now.
And we haven't even started talking to people yet.
Let's do it.
Oh, we're doing it. We're on the road right now. And we already got two special guest hosts lined up for it.
Yes.
The Rocket Man, Wayne Jefferson, and Terry Scampton will be the guest host for that one.
What do you think of this? The Rocket Man is going to be not just the guest host for that particular show.
The Rocket Man.
He's going to start joining us just much like yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I love being here. This is great.
He's not that he's tired of being driving a car and winning races and taking.
He wants to be the new DW.
Yeah, he wants to be the new DW.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
That's it. And if anybody,
Craig, why are you laughing? Craig calls me. I call Craig just because we need some equipment, Rick.
Yeah.
About a half an hour ago, I called him up.
And of course, he brought a short cord.
Yeah. So I call him up. He says, "What do you mean? I'm in Canada." Of course, I believed it for a second because he does the safety for the IHRA. Well, I assumed. I know you.
I was just in Tulsa, and we have to go back.
You have to go back because what happened? You got rained out or something? The final day? Is that what happened?
Yeah, we dodged the tornado and got hit by deluge of rain for so many days. And actually, we're doing construction.
They have deluges in Texas?
Yes. No, Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Jack. Tulsa is in Oklahoma.
Oh, yes, Tulsa.
I got
it's
Texas.
Close to Texas.
I got delusions in Texas on my mind because we're going to be talking to Rick Day, formerly of San Antonio Speedway, which is a former Speedway.
Right.
He's formerly of.
Formerly?
Yeah.
And where is he now?
He's on the unemployment line.
But in Texas.
He's calling you. He's going to give us some feedback on Florida politics tonight.
Right.
No way. Now you got a gag in them. They all go.
We do have some people out here today with us. Your mic's off.
Who do we have?
Rick, your mic's off.
Who do we have here? My mic was off.
Your mic was off.
My mic was off.
With us in the studio tonight at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East, we have Rex Guy from Auburndale Speedway, part of the new ownership team. We have Harold Crooms, who's promoting a very special modified race later in the year at Auburndale Speedway. And we have the mastermind of the new regime, Ronnie Sims, the race director from Auburndale Speedway. And we have Rick Ariyama here from when he isn't.
Where's he from, Jack?
Where are you from? Tampa?
Zephyr Hills.
Zephyr Hills. You guys do the when you're not playing radio with us. You also handle a traveling series.
Yeah, Fast Mini Cup Series.
Yeah.
www.fastminicupseries.com.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely taking off right now, isn't it?
It's very cool. It's very cool.
Every week. We're just building momentum.
It's very cool. You know what is the coolest thing, though, is to see, you know, you get them cars out there. They're not extremely loud like, you know, big full-blown race cars. So, you know, you can.
They got their own sound to them, though.
Yeah, but
you can hear
the fans over top of them when they get real boisterous. And at Charlotte County now, on two or three occasions, they've gotten really boisterous cheering these people on.
We're starting to build a pretty good fan base,
yeah.
And I tell you what, if y'all have been up there Saturday night, Daniel Miller raced with the pros and waxed the field.
Again.
Did he get to keep the win this time?
Oh, yeah.
Did he get entertained in the winner's circle this time?
We got a few issues with the microphone up there, but
Jason's
going to get that fixed for
us.
Yeah,
Jason's trying to sell me those microphones, right?
You need to buy them so they can get a better set.
Yeah, they suck.
This is what you want to take to New Smyrna?
Yeah.
No.
We're out there. He's out there trying to do driver intros. I ran down there just for the late model race the other night. He's out there trying to do driver intros. It was when he was done, he actually threw the microphone. The fans were yelling for him to throw the microphone.
Yeah, I had one of those at DeSoto.
They're $315.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, they're not cheap. Who else we got tonight?
I'm going to talk to Chris Mize from South Georgia Motorsports Park, where the fires
are smoky
blown up.
South Georgia.
They've blown up so much smoke that he told me today that he couldn't see the interstate from his office, and his office and the interstate are less than a quarter mile away. And so they've had to postpone the ASA late model race this week, which is has a positive because I'll be able to go to Lakeland because I wasn't going to be able to go because we were having to cover that. So.
Now the rumors, Lakeland's up for sale. Is that true?
Sold.
Lakeland has been sold.
Oh.
Sold. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I have the letter, but I didn't bring it
Are we going to have quite a few Saturday night venues, or is this just going to be a special event tracks again?
Oh, it'll still probably be a special event, but there'll be a lot more special events.
There's going to be more shows.
I tell you what, that's one of the finer tracks Florida has right now.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, it's definitely a good draw, Lakeland.
Well, you
Speedway.
Rule out them nasty car tracks, which don't count in my book anyway. It's the biggest and the best.
That's very well
the nasty
possible.
Nasty car track. That used to be a nasty car track.
Yeah, and we're going to have to get into that, you know, because we got two.
Might
new,
be again.
We have two new nasty car shows coming to Short Track America. There's another one. You don't leave. Nobody knows
about. No.
Another
yeah.
one.
Another one. We'll talk about that later. Some new guest hosts. I mean, new hosts of shows, not guest hosts. Hosts of shows. Rick Day, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Steve Myers. We're going to talk to Steve Myers. Steve keeps us updated on what happens in the late model racing up in Five Flag Speedway,
North Florida, and Lower LA.
Justin Draughty.
Lower LA.
It's Justin Draughty, right?
Right. No.
I mean,
no.
See, I said that.
Oh, Jack, why'd
I did
you do
it,
that to me?
Steve's going to fill us in on what happened up there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing when that happens to two people at the same time.
Right.
You're linked at the hip.
And?
The last half hour of the show, we're going crazy.
We're going drag racing.
Yeah. Steve Letemp's going to be with us, and we're going to
talk to Staging Stevie.
We're going to talk
200 miles an hour on two wheels.
We're going to talk to the winner at the of some of the events at the Stone Mountain Nationals, which is the all-Harley drag racing series up at Commerce, Georgia this week.
Nitro fuel burning. Yeah.
Douglas Horn. We're going to talk to Douglas Horn. He won the he's from Aberdeen, Maryland. He won the Pro Fuel event finals, 204 mile an hour. That's not too bad.
On a motorcycle?
Two wheels. That's all you need.
No seat belt.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Junior Pippen from Conyers, Georgia. He was the Pro Stock winner up there. And we're going to talk to Greg Krennic, who from Corrales, New Mexico. He won the Pro Modifieds at a very slow 143 mile an hour. But, in that class, he set a new national record in that class over the weekend.
Creeping along.
Yeah.
And 143.
Yeah.
At least he had doors and seat belts.
So, Craig, give us some highlights. What happened? What's the highlights of your of the adventure out in Tulsa with the IHRA?
Well,
drag
let's
racing?
See.
What was the name of the event?
Tornado Nationals.
It was the Sooner inaugural Sooner Nationals, and we're renaming it the inaugural Sooner or Later Nationals because by the time we got there, I flew to Houston, and it's normally an hour from Houston to Tulsa. Well. 3 hours later, we made it into Tulsa, only to find that the airport had been hit by lightning and all the power was out in the airport. So picture 5,000 people.
Some Tulsa blues.
Picture 5,000 people trying to get their luggage with nothing working, and it was quite interesting. But we got to the track. They had been pummeled by rain. Pummeled by a deluge for God knows,
damn mud puddles.
A couple weeks.
Did you bring the dictionary?
Pummel.
We might need it. We might need it tonight.
Pummel. I think what we're going to do. What we're going to do to Jack Smith. Pummel.
Yeah.
And but we had on a brighter note to all that, we actually got through Friday and Saturday qualifying. So the pro field is qualified. Unfortunately, the sportsman guys still have to come back on the remake and get that through. But we qualified the pro field. We had 30 nitro cars. That's top fuel and nitro funny car. Good field, and the fans were pretty well packed in there on Saturday night. Set some high numbers. TJ, who we talked to before, TJ Zizzo, set some high numbers also.
Yep.
Gary Densham, who's runs a lot in NHRA.
Yeah, we want to get him on this show. I was reading some stuff about him the other day. He's a guy we want to get on this show real soon.
Well, he did on the Friday night. He picked up with
who?
With Gary Densham.
Gary Denham. He used to be a teammate with John Force, didn't he?
Densham. Yeah, Densham. He was a school teacher. Densham.
Yeah.
He's got the last man standing, which, you know, that program, it's whoever qualifies the fastest at the end of the rounds for that day then gets an award, and they get money for the last man standing for that day. But he had a 488 at a mere 314.02.
He let off?
That's all. He just couldn't do it. But
that's cool.
We're also going to have Keith Butler on.
Keith Butler.
Finished dead last at the Little 500.
Fresh from the Little 500. There's a reason why he finished dead last.
One lap in.
And we're going to find out tonight.
I heard he wasn't a happy camper.
He had plenty of time to watch the race and tell us how the whole race
went. Oh, yeah. Commentary.
Yeah. You know, see, most shows would have went and got
Troy DeCare,
who just happens to be leading the TBARA series.
We've already had Troy DeCare on several times.
We want a guy who finished dead last.
Right.
That's our style.
Well, that's very rare.
Who happens to be chasing Troy DeCare in the points race for the TBARA championship. And the TBARA will be the wing sprints. The baddest, fastest race cars in Florida's short track racing will be at New Smyrna Speedway this weekend.
Phenomenal speed.
We've got him in 2 weeks, I think, at DeSoto.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This weekend we got the Richie Pops Thorben Memorial Race.
Yes.
600 to win, pure stock race. So that's a standalone race on its own.
And since the ASA late model race at South George Motorsports Park was postponed this week to later in the year, the next ASA Southern Division race will be at New Smyrna, where Rick Angies, Bill Green, will carry the play-by-play live over the internet.
Where is this going to be?
With if the microphone situation gets straightened out,
right.
Jack Smith will be playing
track reporter.
Track reporter in the pits.
Chris Economaki.
Yeah.
He'll be the Chris Economaki.
This is they're about the same age.
Chris a little younger, isn't he?
I think only by about 2 years. Just 2 years.
A little thinner, too.
And he wears penny loafers. Yeah. Yep. There's his
actually,
sign.
I got Chris Economaki's email address, and I emailed him a couple of times. Of course, he never responded. And then it went to the forwarding address, which is some weird address. So God bless Chris.
And your buddy.
My buddy?
Jeff Schofield. Returned to the winner's circle in the Sunbelt Series in Florida. Florida's big late model, super late model racing series. He was not allowed to race in the last race because of some incidents that happened between him and another guy named Jeff
Choquette. And Choquette was there in Dickey's car, right? 92?
And he won in Dickey's car. I'm assuming he was in car. I don't know. I wrote a story on
it. I'll tell you what.
I didn't get into that.
If Schofield's in a super late model race right now and doesn't win, something happened.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this guy is on a Dickie Anderson type of tear, man.
Yeah, I interviewed him this morning, actually, and he seemed completely at ease with the whole process. He told me he doesn't have any. He feels so good now because he doesn't have anything to prove to anybody anymore except to himself every time he goes out on the track. But he doesn't have the pressure that was there perhaps before.
Right.
And
well, so far, not only has he had, you know, two back-to-back wins at DeSoto in the All-American Challenge Series, the luck of the die roll has gone his way, too. He was fifth-fast qualifier. Dice come up a six, which put him on the front row for the second race in a row. He puts Schofield on the front row.
And some people feel he got a pretty lucky break on lap two up at Columbia Motorsports Park this past weekend.
Oh, yeah?
He had a little run-in with David Wilson.
Uh-huh.
Wilson by himself had to go to the rear, and not everyone felt that that was the way it should have been. Anyway, David Wilson did pretty good, too. He got sent to the rear of the 19-car field. He drove back to seventh, got sent to the rear again, and ended up sixth. And, he won the last race of last year, that All-American Challenge
right.
Series.
Right, he sure did. And I was one happy dude, man.
And he's been having a lot of bad luck lately.
Right.
But he said that he learned to have patient aggressiveness by being sent to the rear. So he was happy with his sixth place.
Patient aggressive.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting comment from
only somebody that's getting coached by Dickie Anderson and Junior Purcell would have come up with patient aggressiveness.
So Craig's having a phone conference with somebody.
He's ordering a pizza.
He's ordering a pizza.
Yeah, we're at the Snook River Grill and Craig's ordering a pizza.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I think what we're going to do is take a break and then we're going to come back and talk to. Who are we going to talk
to? Hi, I'm Steve
Myers. I'm Susan.
Fast Time Productions, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Be there for the thunder and excitement of Super Late Model Racing when the best racers in Florida take on the High Bank three-quarter mile of USA International Speedway in the guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown. Round one for the Sunbelt Super Series Late Models comes your way on Saturday night, June the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Make your plans to be there. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223 or check online at usaspeedway.com. The guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown at USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Hey, Tom.
A couple levels.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
How do you find him the money? Tell me how you find him the money.
Well, actually, through a variety of means. But what we do is we provide the proposal for him, and we actually.
So what I'm saying is you guys don't actually find the money. Who finds the money? Who finds the money?
And really, we cultivate them.
Hey, Tom, who finds the money?
So we can get them a shot eventually.
Hey, Tom.
Bushy's car.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Who finds the money? Who in this game finds the money for these guys?
It's all about the money here at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East. In beautiful southern Tampa Bay. We're back online. Craig Smith over here playing on the phone. What's up, Jack?
Craig who?
Craig Smith.
That's what I thought you said.
I got the high fives there, the high twos.
Rick's number one and two on my list.
With a bang.
Hey, guess who I have on the phone?
I bet you haven't got a clue.
I haven't got a clue. But let me see.
I know I'm having a hard time.
The amazing Karnak will guess who I have on the phone.
Give him the envelope. Put it on his head.
Put the envelope on your head,
he
Jack.
He hates that.
Put the big envelope. It's a 9x12
envelope.
That's
some silly crap. We got Steve Myers from Five Flag Speedway on the line. And Steve has it all. When it comes to late models, he has it all.
How y'all doing tonight?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
Up there in North Florida and L.A.
Pretty good. You know, I almost forgot about y'all. I was cruising down the road, and it just hit me. I said, oh, I got to turn around.
Yeah, Jack does that to a lot of people.
Yeah. So what's been going on up there, Steve?
Well, we had our second Blizzard Series race of the year, and another big success. We had 39 late models at the first one, and this one we had 36. And, of course, you know your Central Florida boy down there, Justin Draughty, came in and stole the show.
Yeah, they were having trouble with his name, but I'm glad you straightened that one out.
Oh, yeah. He comes and runs with us a lot. He was running regular with us there for a couple of years, but last year he never showed up any. This year he's decided he's going to run the whole Blizzard Series, and the whole goal is to finish high up in the points in case you have a problem at the Snowball Derby. You can get a provisional. And as you know, we have, you know, 70 to 80 cars trying to make the Derby, so it's always really tight. I mean, we sent guys home from the Derby last year like Butch Miller and Gary St. Amant, and the list goes on and on. So it's real important, you know, to get those points and stay up toward the front.
Now, where's Justin sitting in the points right now?
Actually, let me see here. He is – it's really tight. He is – third in the points, but get this, okay? The leaders are tied. He's 5 points behind. Fourth place is 10 points behind. Fifth place is 10 points behind. And sixth place is 15 points behind. So it's real tight. The leader right now is Ryan Crane. He's from Panama City, Florida. He runs really well everywhere he goes. Ken McFarland's a hot shoe from up in Alabama. Like I said, Justin's third. And then one of our local boys, Donald Long from Pensacola's fourth. Josh Hamner, who is, you know, Hamner Racing Engine, he is fifth. And then Hunter Robbins, he's the 16-year-old phenom that won the first one. Actually, 15 years old. Take that back. He's sixth.
So the late model racing up there is tight up there.
Oh, yeah, it's been good. Well, this 36-car field, the top 30 for this race were separated by less than a half a second. You had guys, I don't know if y'all are familiar with some of these guys, but they're really well-known across the country, late model-wise, but Casey Smith from Texas and Junior Niedecken, who's been around forever, he was a two-time short-track NASCAR champion. Chris Davidson from over in Texas and Ken McFarland, they were all back in around 30th position in the race. Justin Drotty started 22nd in a 100-lap race and won the race. So that tells you how deep the field was.
That's some tight competition right there. Now, how many races are we into on these Blizzard Series?
This is the second one of five, and then the next one will be on July 20th. And as you know, every race that we run is a doubleheader with Mobile, which is only 60 miles away. So that really helps the out-of-town guys because if they're going to travel 8 and 10 hours, they can come run here Friday and then go right down the road there, down the interstate, and run at Mobile on Saturday. Unfortunately, this race was a little bit of a crash fest. Always hate to say that, but it was. But the first 25 laps were green, and then in the last 75 laps, we had 10 cautions.
Yeah, those late model races can be like that sometimes. Sometimes it pays off for the guys that are starting mid-pack back in the pack.
Well, what was interesting about this race, there was all kind of different strategies playing out. Josh Hamner led the first 94 laps. That sounds like a yawner, but there was action going on all around him. Well, Justin, if I'm not mistaken, he came in probably with about 30 to go and worked his way through the pack. And then Eddie Mercer, I know you've heard of Eddie Mercer, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, Eddie Mercer and Scott Carlson are two of the big-time hot shoes around Pensacola, and they can pretty much win anywhere they go. They came in later, and they were charging through the pack. Justin Drotty had newer tires than Hamner, so he was working on him at the same time Mercer and Carlson were coming. Then they had a yellow with five to go, and that's when Drotty made his move. He passed Hamner with five to go. As Eddie Mercer was coming around the high side, he got blocked by a couple guys side by side. Otherwise, Mercer might have pulled it for him, but it was real exciting. I mean, they were sliding, and it was a five-car battle to the finish.
So the winner of the Blizzard Series is guaranteed a spot in the Snowball, right?
Yeah, and the way – well, yes, he definitely is guaranteed, but the way it works, the top 10 in points are okay. Eligible. So, in other words, if the top two qualify and the third guy does it, then the third guy gets it.
Okay.
Usually, like last year, I think it was the third-place guy and the sixth-place guy got the provisionals.
That's an awesome way to do that. And this Snowball, I mean, it's just blown up in the last 5 years. You know, in the early stages of the Snowball, you know, everybody came to it. It kind of faded a little bit there, but last year, I mean, God, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's always been really strong. I mean, like you said, yeah, it's been down a little, but as far as national recognition, it's always pretty much been known as the premier race in the country. You just get a variety. I mean, people... Hooters drivers goes out. They go out and get cars just for the race. Or, for instance, Gary St. Amant, he has a late model that he only pulls out for the Snowball Derby. Bobby Gill, he pretty much only runs the Snowball Derby. Rich Bickle, he hasn't ran in a couple years, but he would have been here last year if it wasn't for some other issues. But basically, they keep cars just for this race, or they lease a car or something of that nature. So you bring in the best from all the different divisions, and then you always have a little bit of other flair in there, too. Like last year, David Stremme actually showed up and ran the Snowflake 100, which is a pro late model race, but when he left last year, he said he was definitely coming to run the big one this year. So,
big stuff. What's coming up here in the near future up there?
Well, we go back to our regular shows, which are 40-lap pro late model races with the Bombers, Super Stock, and Sportsman classes. That'll be on June the 8th, and we run bi-weekly here. So we'll have, let's see, three of those in a row, and then the next Blizzard race will be on July the 20th.
All right, Steve. Well, great hearing from you again. Always a pleasure getting the updates from you.
Well, enjoy it, and y'all do a good job. I'll listen to the rest of the show, and y'all have a good night.
All right, Steve. Thanks Take a lot, care. Bro. All right, late model Steve, man. Now, that dude with Bill Green did one awesome job of that snowball derby this past year. Shaking your head doesn't do a damn thing, Jack. We can't hear it rattling on the microphone, especially if we can't turn it off.
He's on his laptop.
Well, I had my microphone turned off, and y'all always pissed.
I can hear your laptop all the way over here.
And he looked at you again and had that blank stare.
Deer in the headlights. Deer in the headlights.
So. Rick and Susan Ariyama, tell me about the mini cups. Where you at? What you doing? Where's it going?
Well, our...
Round and round, we hope.
Oh, yeah. Our very next race, we're going to be at Auburndale. Rex has invited Fast Mini Cup Series. Come on down there and showcase our cars, and we're going to bring a pretty decent handful down there. And I think we'll wow the crowd. These cars are awesome, you know, speeds of upwards of 100 miles an hour on some of the larger tracks. But I think we can clip off some 75, 80 mile an hour laps down there at Auburndale.
You going to make that little DM start a lap down?
I think we need to. We need to start adding some weight to him. Little dudes just don't matter where he starts. He's running straight to the front after 2-3 laps.
It's unbelievable.
10 years old, man. This kid is awesome.
He don't make mistakes, does he?
Very rarely, you know. But Rob Miller's dad definitely does their homework on that car. But we got quite a few new drivers coming in. We got a few cars that have been sold, and a few drivers coming in. We got a couple open wheel. Drivers that's kind of settling down, don't want to get into that expensive racing, so they're doing something a little more affordable.
So what is it? Is this like these? Are the cars pretty much the same, except for the setups and how they drive them? I mean, is the motors pretty much the same, or can they do things to the motors to get more, you know, horsepower, whatever, out of them?
These motors are fairly highly modified. But as far as the late model, if you didn't have a magnifying glass out with a late model or the Mini Cup, you couldn't tell the difference. They're identical to a late model. Full roll cage, 5-point roll harness, coilovers, jack plates, you name it.
Well, they might be the same, except they look like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids version.
Hey, Rick, how close are they to a Bandolero?
Yeah.
We had Bandoleros
That's
at the track
right.
this
They're
past weekend.
They're little tiny things.
Bandoleros run a little bit different engine configuration that we do, but basically they are so close. But the Bandoleros run on a flat track. These mini cups are made for the high bank.
Oh, well, no doubt. One of the first times I ever saw them was at DeSoto.
They run Bandoleros at DeSoto, don't they?
Yeah, we run them on the small track.
Oh, well, where do they run them at Orlando?
Down on the apron.
Down the small track.
They have no suspension in the front. It's a rigid front and a coilover in the back.
They run them at when I was up at South Georgia Motor or at Watermelon Capital. They run them and they don't have an inside thing, so I didn't watch them. But they had to have run on the outside because there is no inside.
Well, what's the banking up there? It's not a whole lot,
oh,
is
yeah.
it? Is it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to ask.
That's what keeps them from going off into the.
We'll have to ask Smokey when he gets on.
The wall. Yeah. Well. Huh.
Yeah, but I think the mini cups are a little bit faster.
Well, you know, I could tell though the Bandoleros do have a stiffer suspension. We had, you know, we had one flip over there Saturday night, couple scary wrecks. But I mean, they're tough cars.
They're extremely tough.
As a matter of fact, I seen you hit the wall at DeSoto, right?
4 years ago.
Yeah. You got out. You were a little shaky, but you got out.
Yeah, I was still stomping down on the gas pedal. Didn't know where I was. had no front end left on the car.
So you guys started off this season. This is your first full year.
Our inaugural year, yep.
First year of doing this, okay? Is there there's another series out there, or there was. I don't know. Is there still another series? Or?
Yeah, it's going. There's
Susan, don't look embarrassed. This is Real Racing USA.
Yeah, this
we
is.
We ask those kind of questions.
Right. No, there's another series out there. As far as how well they're doing, we really don't keep track. What we do is we focus on our own series.
Okay, well, I was just curious how many cars there are in this game. Because I know when you guys started out at the beginning of the year, there was a small number of cars, and it seems like it keeps growing. What's the deal, Susan?
Susan, this is the first year they're getting paid, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
We're giving back to the drivers for the first time.
We had a great sponsor Saturday night at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Randy Fox stepped up to the plate and threw $500.
Did he really?
He did. Randy Fox stepped up and threw the money out there. And
he must have thought he was going to win that race because he also offered to buy. He was getting ready to buy some new microphones for Jason, too. So he must have thought he was going to win that race.
He needs to buy some microphones for us.
Which he damn near did.
Well, we also had a sponsor last Saturday night. Was Bill Lee Automotive out of Palmetto, Florida, right here.
Oh, cool. Yeah, right here in Bradenton.
Yep. Cool.
Good deal.
Yeah, Bill Lee's Automotive on Old 41, isn't it?
Yep.
Right.
Down there towards Rabonia.
So you race at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and now you're going to go over to Auburndale. You race Ocala, right?
Yeah.
Ocala. Yeah. Yeah. We had a great showing at Ocala. Great race.
16 cars.
16?
Yep.
Yeah, it's every week.
That's in the pros. You have two classes?
Two divisions, Fast Stars and Fast Pros.
Oh, my God. Look at all that food. The Snook River Grill, man. They
the
have great food.
Fast Stars are from
great
8 to 14,
here.
And the Fast Pros are 15 up.
They what now?
The Fast Stars are from 8 to 14, and the Fast Pros are 15 and up.
Oh, they're Fast
Even
Stars.
Even you can race one, Jack.
The Fast Stars.
Fast Stars. They're not juniors.
Jack doesn't climb on flag stands, and he doesn't get in little cars.
He won't climb a fence post and wave a checker flag? Come on, Jack.
No. We put him up in the flag stand at Auburndale one time.
He's a deadbeat.
<Once. laughs> we almost had to get the fire department to get
yeah,
him down.
That's right.
The one thing that I've accomplished, I believe, and I'm not stopping, and that's right now we have 41 sponsors.
I've seen your sponsor list. It's awesome.
People give different awards.
Yeah, either certificates, merchandise, cash.
You know, there's some other traveling series around this state that could probably use some of y'all's expertise.
No, thank you.
I think they're happy doing what they're doing.
For the right price, I'm sure that
for the right price,
consulting is available.
There was someone in the past that wanted my technique.
Expertise and help getting
sponsorships.
Did it involve a bullwhip?
I just kind of kept it for myself because I think I would need it later on.
Yeah.
Her ace up her sleeve.
Yeah. So you had 16 cars start in the last race in the pro ranks
at
Ocala.
Ocala Speedway.
At Ocala.
Yeah.
Is there more up in the north than there is in the south, or what?
They're cars? Spread out. We got a. Three or four drivers that live over in Vero Beach, Miami area. We've got a few drivers up near Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Ray Black at the Diving Academy, Ray Black Jr., he comes down every now and then and participates, and he's a tough runner, too.
Yeah.
What's it take to get into one of these cars? How much cash-wise?
Oh, I don't know, Susan. We're talking anywhere between $4,000 and $6,000 turnkey, ready to go racing.
Right.
That's a good deal.
You know, the mini cups is very affordable for a lot of us older guys that maybe ain't quite got what it takes to hang with a lot of these young kids, and you want to step down, but you still want to do some good quality racing. And mini cups the way to go. Mostly, racing with the fast mini cup series because you will get something back. But a lot of it is good fundamentals for these juniors. You know, like the Daniel Millers and the Cinderay and Aaron Irish is out there. Even got Blaise Greco. He's 8 years old. Never even been in a car. All he does is drive a go-kart. Well, in the two or three races he's run, he's went from going 20 miles an hour to 40 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour. And now he's just about running where he's not getting lapped. And really? He's never been in nothing. He's no bigger than a peanut. And the kid's flying. He's doing really well.
I tell you what, it's done wonders for Daniel Miller. That kid's
a star.
That kid's a star.
Yeah, he's a star.
I can't wait to see him actually move. I mean, I don't know if you guys, how y'all feel about it, but I can't wait to see the kid move up to a real full-size race
car.
Well,
I don't know if I should really let the cat out of the bag for the Miller team.
It's
Big
fun.
R.
Hit the cat's head already.
Yeah,
squirming.
Did I already do it? All right, but anyway, well, what we got is Daniel Miller is going to run one more year with the Fast Mini Cup Series. He's going to go ahead and step up to the pros next year. But Big R up there where they live, Rob Miller lives, they've already purchased him a truck. Hmm. He will be doing a truck next year, late next year, because he'll be 11 this July. And then come next July, he'll turn 12, and that's when he's eligible.
to race in the like the fast?
No, he's gonna. He's definitely joining the fast truck series.
Fast truck.
Kids, yeah, he's gonna race kids. Under Ronnie Sims, man. Put on a good, great program.
Huh. Here he comes.
You look out! I tell you what, he's.
So now, do you have some? I mean, do you have some other guys that are youngsters that are coming up? What are some of the other kids that are coming up that have some potential?
I think Cinderay Irish right now, and she's a young lady. She's about 12 or 13 years old, and they're out of Clearwater, Florida. She's been doing a lot of seat time, a lot of practicing, and she's really starting to get on top of her game. She's running a great line. 2 weeks ago, she gave Daniel Miller a fit for about five or six laps, and Daniel really had to bide his time and work to get around her. So, I mean, that's staying a lot. Daniel Miller's a hot shoe.
Cool. Yeah? What's that, Rick? Rick's over there falling apart, man. Oh, you're adjusting. He's having a moment.
It's another one of those blonde stare moments.
The one thing of it is with these mini cups, it's kind of past history of getting these mini cup cars to come back out now after the past. Yeah,
because they've been running
four
around.
Four or five years ago, you had 26 cars on the track.
So they've been around
time.
Florida about 10 years?
Yeah.
10, 12 years, yeah. The first time I ever seen them was out at DeSoto Speedway. Yeah.
Me too. Yep.
Yeah. And that's when I got excited about them. And, you know, but like I say, this is a budget sport. At the time, I couldn't even afford to tie my shoes correctly. But as years go on, you know, I kept telling Susie, I got to get one of these things. You know, I raced a little bit of late models, limited late models with my brother. I did offshore ocean racing, pure stocks, street stocks, bombers. I pretty much raced it all.
Go ahead.
It's the most fun I've ever had with no stress. You know, open wheel and late model racing, stressful.
Right.
Because you need big teams, big money, big sponsors, a lot of good backing, good car hauler. Man, a little utility trailer, a couple of bucks, you're racing.
Yeah, you ran one of them cars into the wall, you just spent some money.
Not real bad.
No, not yours. I'm talking about the late.
Oh, correct.
Model.
Yeah, correct. Oh, yeah. Right. You're so talking 10% of the
yeah.
price.
Yeah. And you wrecked one of them. You did offshore racing? How much of that did you do?
I've raced with my brother, George Oriam, a senior. He's actually still racing. I quit racing. It was a little bit of a family issue with my only sibling in the same boat. And we've lost quite a few offshore real professional drivers every year, so it's a dangerous sport, so I elected to step out
of... What class were you running?
The modified. Called the Outlaws, and they're upwards of 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Scary enough, man.
Right.
You know, now your brother has some history as a promoter.
We need to get his brother in here.
I'm telling you. I'd love to talk
to him.
The Birdman.
So do you guys get any of... You get some backing in terms of knowledge from some of the experiences he had?
Tell me. He's been very instrumental in where we need to do politically, you know, to keep this on the right track, you know, because it's with any racing. I mean, Rex is going to find this out in the next few months. You got 99 drivers you got to make happy, but you're always going to have one miserable one.
See, we need him in here. Politics.
Yep. And speaking of politics.
Yeah.
A little bit later, we're going to try to squeeze in Rick Day.
Oh, that's a big squeeze.
And there's some politics.
There's some real politics
there's
going
some
on
politics
there.
There. Well, historically.
Historical politics.
So there's things that you can't talk about when it's happening, but, you know, a little bit of time goes by. It's maybe okay.
Nobody's going to
shoot you, you know. So.
Well, it's like you want some politics. The first that when we started, we were, it was more or less that, we weren't going anywhere.
That's right.
We weren't going anywhere. That was the rumor. And
oh, yeah, everybody had us.
I heard it. I heard that rumor.
We're full speed ahead.
And when I saw that you had them 16 cars out of Cal, I said, yeah.
That's right.
Because it's all, you know, I mean, for you, you said it at the beginning right here at the show that it was all about the drivers.
That's what
still
it is about. Right. It still is, and it always will be. We haven't changed. We still let the flagman make the call. We have done everything that we have promised to do.
And then some.
And then some,
from what I've seen. And
we've got drivers that we hand their checks to that tried to tell us, you guys put this back in your pocket to make money, and we're not here to do that. We're here to put it in your pocket.
Okay, so you guys, the series, you can buy a car for $5,000 or $6,000. How much do you win if you win a race?
We're offering right now without any sponsors, and this is not our contingency sponsors because every week our contingency is given out to all the drivers.
Right.
But a minimum of $100 just to take the green, you know, for the winner. But we pay all the way back to last place. You still walk out with $30,
$40. I got you. Okay.
You know, at least it covered your, you know, your gate fee.
And then you have the contingencies on top of it.
And, correct. You know, that's one of cool. The most important things that I've seen in racing when you – the drivers, when they come in, you know, they pay their way in and everything. They're the show. They ought to get what they got. They paid to come in back.
Yeah, right. Think?
You know, that's the way I looked at it.
I mean, pretty much at minimum, they do.
Yeah, I mean, not the tires and the gas and all that stuff.
Otherwise, they'd be out pawning the trophies.
Yes, absolutely.
You like that?
Pawning the trophies.
Yeah.
No, they don't pawn them trophies, man. They'll race for them trophies before they'll
Craig,
pawn.
I thought you were supposed to be our board man tonight.
I'm stuck over here. I'm on the phone.
That's all he's been doing is on the phone. I think he's making business deals over here.
Is there anything else you want to tell us, Susan, here before?
We're here to stay.
Good.
Mostly, we're really excited to be over at Auburndale. I mean,
yes.
That's going to be very historical for the Fast Mini Cup Series right now. I mean, we're slowly getting more tracks, you know, week after week after week. We can go up to all the way to Five Flags.
We got 1,000 go-karters over there that could come. Potentially come.
These drivers
try
do
your
not
stuff.
Want to go on go
on dirt.
Track.
Yeah, no. We've already polled the drivers, and they like to stay away from the dirt. We can get
tracks. There's all those people. There's a huge
go kart
drivers
correct.
who might some of those people might want to come.
Well, that's from where a majority of our kids come from is a go kart background.
Yeah, if you don't have $47 zillion to go.
Right, that's where little Duke came
you're
going
to get to NASCAR. Yeah, good. Well, keep us up to date. I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Hey, plug your truck bodies, Rick.
Truck bodies.
Somebody
yeah.
from the audience yes. wants truck you to plug bodies. Your truck bodies.
Yeah, that's my
we're ready
that's
to
my
put
mouthpiece
them on.
Back there, Ronnie Sims. I tell you what, he's been very instrumental to really moving our program along. But Ronnie Sims, at about the beginning of the year, planted a seed in my head and Susan's head about switching our bodies over to truck bodies. And so before the end of this year's out, you're going to see a few truck bodies on the juniors. The pros right now, we're going to go ahead and leave them with the Monte Carlos, Ford Fusions, Dodge Chargers, et cetera. But slowly come the end of next year, we're hoping all our drivers elect to go to truck bodies.
Are you telling me these guys are going to look like little tiny trucks?
Yes.
It's going to excite all the little boys and girls out there that live out there in the country. Daddy, I need a pickup truck.
Instead of the $200
Put a BB gun in the rack, a BB rack. You know.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead thick. And, make some little templates and put them on the back window
too
and make
funny.
It look like a shotgun.
It's
going
to be a little better than that one you buy at Walmart, you know, the one that's called Bigfoot.
Yeah. All right.
Just
watch
a little
out.
Bit better.
Break time. We'll come back to you. Thanks, guys. We'll
all
talk
right.
To you soon.
Glad to be on.
And Rick, you hang
around
here.
I'm not going anywhere.
We're coming back with AJ.
If you want to talk to Bill, Jack, and Rick right now, get to the phone and dial 941-748-3490 and join the show live on air.
Short Track America reserves the right to answer stupid questions with even more stupidity.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Back here at the Snook River Grill.
Got to thank Danny Toller. Dangerous Dan Toller.
Dangerous Dan.
For that,
we
for,
need to get
for the music.
Danny involved with the Sunshine Reunion show.
Oh, that'd be killer.
Crowd here.
Live. That'd be killer.
Live. Bring a little amp and his guitar.
Telling
you what.
These people
ain't
even got a clue.
These
people at the Snook River Grill have not got a clue what's getting ready to happen.
This
may be our last show.
I started explaining it a bit to today to some of the folks here. I could see by the eyes I was losing my
mind.
May
we bring Bobby Montezuma and, Art and Wayne Calkins and
all right, up in the middle of Central Florida, right pretty near Lakeland, Florida, there's a little track, quarter mile. Has a history that goes back a long, long ways. Man, it's coming back, trust me. Ronnie Sims, tell us about it.
First off, Jack, I want to thank you for having Rex and myself, Rob and Colleen.
Well, you can thank us afterwards because I tell you, you may not want to thank us.
We thank you. We
thank
you
for being here.
For being here.
Rex and his family's undertaken bringing the Speedway back better than it ever was. It's going to take some time because of the condition of the track and the facilities. They've really been busting a hump over there.
Cool. So what's first step? You've been running now for about, 3 weeks?
Yeah, we've had 4 weeks.
Four weeks.
Yeah. Of our regular shows. Last week we brought in the sprints and the antique cars to add to our show. Then June the 8th, we're going to have a practice and meet and greet for our grand opening weekend. Gates open at 5 o'clock, and we'll have the meet and greet, and then everybody go practicing. We've got the Fast Mini Cups coming. We've got our regular shows that are going to be there. We've got the Fast Kids, the Fast Pros, and the late models that are going to be running.
So that's Friday at 5 o'clock on Friday the 8th is when the weekend kicks off?
Right. The pit gate opens at 5 p.m. on
gotcha.
Friday.
Okay.
And after the meet and greet, we're going to try to get all divisions enough practice in. And then Saturday morning, we're going to open the gates at 10 a.m. Start the day off practicing again. All divisions will qualify. You know, your regular Saturday night divisions usually peel draw. We're going to qualify every division. Then we may or may not let the fans decide how they're actually going to start. We're not sure what we're going to do yet.
We do have grand opening with the go-karts Friday.
That's correct.
So when is the grand opening for the carts?
Friday night.
Friday night as well? Yeah. So you are still running the go-kart program.
We have a brand new track. We've reconfigured the whole track. Matter of fact, Southern Road Builders have done all the work on that, and they've really done a great job. Matter of fact, they paved our off ramp today for us.
And they got a, you got a huge kart base up there in that area, huh? That's cool. So, what are some of the changes that have either occurred or are going to be changing with the track?
With Rex's whole family has worked up there to 1-2 o'clock most nights. They've cleaned up all the facilities. They've cleaned up the grounds. They've landscaped some of the grounds already. They started working on the bleachers last week, I believe it was. Got most of the main section done. Then they're going to repair some of the other sections that still need repair. They've done a ton of work there.
That's cool. So what classes run on like a weekly basis?
We have the mini stocks, the modified minis, the street stocks, strictly stocks, and sportsmen.
Yeah.
And scramblers.
And the scramblers.
Scramblers?
What is scrambler? And we're going to try to add a couple more divisions before it's over with.
Rick, remember we went up there and did that thing with the
street stocks?
Yeah, that was a street stock.
Street stock.
Dash for cash.
Dash for cash.
Man, that was wild.
That was a crazy night right there. They told us we couldn't do it.
When y'all going to do it again?
Yeah, well, we'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, we can't tell you.
We can't tell
that's
you.
That's what made it unique time.
It wasn't planned. We showed up. We just showed up, said, we're going to do this. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll do this. So, we'll surprise you.
Jack, you've known me for a while. You know, I'll throw a surprise in once in a while.
Absolutely. That's the way
you
to do it.
You didn't show up when you said you was.
No, it's been rough, man.
It's still sitting in the cooler.
Yeah.
Beer's still in the cooler.
Well, Budweiser, he told me, is he getting really cold?
So how are the fans taking, how are they liking the Budweiser again?
Actually, there's nothing crazy going on.
Right.
Actually, it's just like a normal night.
Right.
We don't have any fights. Actually, there's more fighting without the beer than there is with the beer.
Tells you something, doesn't it? Ronnie, what's your background in racing?
My partner and I own Mac Time Racing Promotions. We worked with Dale Sr., Ward Burton, a couple of other drivers doing autograph sessions and stuff. Then I've been, I was a tech director for the Fast Truck Series first. And then I became the race director. And then Rex and his family asked me to be the race director at Auburndale Speedway.
That's quite an undertaking. Rex, what's your background?
I'm a contractor, and I got into racing with my kids, and I just
kids club
it.
Up there. Is that?
Yeah, we were in the kids club, and my son excelled a little bit faster than I thought he would.
Right,
and I got involved in it, and I really like it. I mean, it's something you can do as a family if you want to do it, but you know, here we are.
And what about the kids club? How's that going to progress?
Actually, the kids club today is a lot smaller than it was.
Right.
And we're going to kind of revamp that next year, help the kids a little more. You know, I have some pretty good people in my shop that are willing to work with the kids and take all the political out of it and let the kids come out and enjoy themselves just like a regular race night.
Yeah.
And the guy that's running the kids club now is really doing a good job. Just a few things needs to be changed to get more kids involved in it, because without the kids, you're not going to have anything down the road.
Exactly. Because so, John at DeSoto is running, we call it the Magic Fours down there, and it's a class that's growing week by week. You know, and he's got the parents are involved. He's making them, you know, keep up their grades and all that. So it's really a great deal for the kids. And anything that you can do to involve kids in your racetrack, I mean, that's your future customers right there.
Matter of fact, we raced the kids club this coming week again, and they do a good job. You know, I'm very proud of them, the way they race.
Oh, we got they're on their feet. You've seen them a couple times, Jack.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, they're wild down there. It's a good deal. Anytime you can involve the kids, it's a big thing.
We did it that one night. We did a giveaway during the part of the lull period or intermission or whatever.
Yeah, at Auburndale.
I had all these giveaway things for the kids. There were so many kids around me, it was scary. I mean, I was scared, man. It was like,
There must have been 200, 250 kids.
At least.
Alone.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stood up in the tower with
they
JT
mobbed
and
me.
Watched it all.
Jack was mobbed.
Mobbed.
Should have seen him in that flag stand, though, Greg.
Quit it.
Did they have to get the aerial to get him down?
I thought we were going to call the fire
it's
department.
It's like one of them things, man.
It's like a cat in a tree.
Climbing the roof is one thing. Getting down the ladder is a different story, man. It was a little...
Did he have his... He was wrapped around it. He couldn't get down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrified.
So you got some officials from other tracks. You got Laverne up there, a few other ones.
We've got Laverne, Tom and Ray from Sunshine Speedway.
Right.
Who is what's Laverne's last name?
Parker.
Huh.
Okay. All you got to know is Laverne, the flag guy from Sunshine.
Laverne. Laverne's been flagging ever since I can remember. Probably
too.
The best in the state.
He keeps the show on the road.
Yeah. That's cool. Does he make the calls?
I make the final call.
Do you?
He will call any non-incidental call because I want him to run the program. Any call that is close to something, I make the call.
Gotcha.
And I will stand by it. The racers at Auburndale will tell you they've already come and tried to see how much we would bend and all, and they found out we don't bend.
Now, you gave out probably the highest fine to any race car driver in the state of Florida, I think.
I think in any short track,
yeah,
that's correct.
Well, and that was.
I don't want to really go into it because I've talked with the young man.
Uh huh.
You couldn't ask for a better racer right now.
Okay, so it worked.
It worked.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
He's really doing a good job.
Where's the money?
Be proud of.
Where's the money?
Where's the money?
He found the money. Actually, found the heart in the guy.
I didn't do it to try to get money to the series or anything. I did it to get his attention.
To make a point.
Hey, things like this cannot happen in a short track race nor any type of racing.
Tell you what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We're going to come. Don't you guys run off too far because we actually want to bring Harold Crooms, who's with you, up here to join us. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to TBARA racer Keith Butler, who's just come back from the Little 500. And,
hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
Be there for the thunder and excitement of super late model racing with the best racers in Florida. Take off the high bank 3/4 mile of USA International Speedway in the guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown. Round 1 for the Sunbelt Super Series late models comes your way on Saturday night, June the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Make your plans to be there. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223 or check online at USASpeedway.com. The guaranteed concrete quarter triple ground at USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us, they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Duty Joke Rider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Bobby Deal with Fast Media Group. You are listening to Short Track America.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
All right, Real Racing USA. There was a lot of racing going on all over the place.
All over the country.
Coca-Cola 600, the Indy 500, but the biggest one of them all, the Little 500.
Yeah, doubling. Yeah, buddy. We have with us one of the guys that went up there and raced that event, and he kind of does it every year. He's one of the top racers in the TBARA wing sprints that race all over Florida, and Keith Butler. Keith, how you doing? Welcome to the show, man.
Pretty good, sir. How are you doing?
We're doing great. I know you're at work, so we won't keep you long, but we really did want to get your feedback and your view of what happened up at the Little 500.
All right, not a problem. It was a great race. Unfortunately, I got to watch 499 laps of it, but we went up there with the U.S. Army car that Kenny Dukes owned, and unfortunately, in the last practice before qualifying on Thursday, the motor puked, so I didn't even get to qualify Thursday. But Dick Myers with the 50M car from Michigan, he was there, and I had helped him out while he was down here with Cameron Dodson in February, and he came over and asked that I want to qualify his car just to, you know, make the race and start it. So that way, for one, we made history with my father and me and Shane both starting the Little 500. That, for one, that was a history, the first time in the Little 500 history that's ever happened. So that was one reason we did it, that, and we made a little money instead of just watching the race. So, you know, and that, and the biggest thing I think happened is that's going to lead into a lot more races with Dick Myers in the 50 car, which that is a great race car, and I'm looking forward to doing that with him.
So why did you only finish one lap?
He was not there prepared to run the race. He was there for the USAC race, and Aaron Pierce drove his car. So he's got customers because he's a Bill Stein dealer, the shop. And he was there helping a bunch of guys, and he had his car there still. And since I helped him out in February, you know, he felt like he needed to return the favor, so he let me qualify his car and start the race.
So you at least got a lap in.
Yeah, got one lap in, but, you know, then after that, I had already planned to make one lap and come in and help my father, so that worked out pretty good for him.
Now, Keith, I heard some hubbub about the problems with the push trucks up there this year.
Well, that's an ongoing problem every year, just about it, you know, because it's, you know, unfortunately the sprint cars don't have starters or clutches in them, so to get a push, there's only four push trucks at each end of the field. So, you know, there's 33 cars and 8 push trucks. So, you know, there's always a problem with push trucks, but it's nothing that, you know, somebody tries to have a problem with, but I don't know exactly the cure for that, unless you had 33 push trucks. Well, then you ain't got room for race cars on a racetrack if you had that many push trucks.
Right.
I think, unfortunately, that's always going to be a little bit of a problem.
Now, this is Eric Gordon's 8th win in this?
Yes, it is. And Eric and his crew has got that place figured out. And when they come in and make a pit stop, they're in. Four tires are changed. And I'm assuming his tank is a 33-gallon tank like most of them. And they're in and out of the pits in 18 seconds.
So they've pretty much got the pits figured out in this.
Exactly. That's where he makes up a lot of times in the pits. But on the racetrack, he's pretty quick, too.
Now, Troy DeCare had a good run up there, too.
Yeah, Troy actually done pretty good. And then when after the race, they found out why it was popping a little bit. One of the valve springs popped out of the valve cover, and I don't know how it kept the oil in it and not kept spraying it out. But, yeah, he did pretty good for only 7 cylinders. And I think he said that was about lap 150 or something that happened.
So
he actually did pretty good in that race with a hurt motor.
So what running of this is this? How many years have they been doing this?
That was the 59th.
59 years, and this is the first time there's been a father and 2 sons in, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, man. And the Florida drivers, TBARA drivers.
How many years have you gone, Keith?
I've been there since 92.
Wow. Way cool.
It's been a long time.
How many cars were there this year, Keith?
I think there was, well, it's hard to tell because a bunch of the USAC guys register for the race. And then they use that as a practice, so it's kind of hard to tell exactly how many qualified. I want to say it was a high 30s or low 40, like maybe right around 40.
That's a bunch of sprint cars.
But with all the motor problem stuff we had, I really didn't have time to keep track of what was going on anywhere else but around my race car.
Well, Florida was pretty well represented once again, though.
Yeah, they always usually are, no matter who goes up there, whether it's only 2 or 3 or, 10 of them. Florida's usually very well represented up there.
So this next week, this weekend, Saturday, the June the 2nd, you'll be at New Smyrna Speedway?
Yes, sir.
So what are you going to do to catch Troy DeCare in the points in the TBARA?
Well, unfortunately, the last race was not my night, I guess is what you want to say. Had a problem in a heat race and got the nose wing tore off and didn't transfer. And then in the feature, right before the feature, had a flat right front and had to go to the pits and then start 23rd. So, it was just a bad night. Me and Troy's been close all year. And then after me having a bad night and him not having quite as bad a night, he passed me. And I think he's 5 or 8 points ahead of me.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. It's real early in the season and ain't worried about it. We're just going to keep racing.
There you go.
Yeah, some good stuff. That race at DeSoto, that was a wild one with Danny Martin, the stuck throttle going across the line.
Yeah, that's always a little hairy when you got one of those problems. But, fortunate enough for him, I guess it was the last lap and not the first lap, At least he didn't. At least he didn't take somebody else with him,
Now these cars that you take up to Indy, are they the same cars that you run down here?
Most of them are, yes. But the one I took was not. It was a car that come from Indiana and I'd put it together down here for a guy, and we took it. But, yes, most of the cars, like Troy actually drove a car he drives down here.
That's something else.
The car that Hevron drove, which is for Lenny Puglio, that's the car David drives down here.
That's one nice piece right there.
Shane and Dad actually had a ride with a guy from Michigan, so it's not a problem to take a wing off the cars we run down here and go up there and run. They're just as competitive as the ones you can run up there.
Well, we just got to figure out how to get Eric Gordon off that top podium.
Well, fortunately, Dick Meyer's the guy I qualified that car for. He absorbed all that race then, and he said next year we will go up there and we will sell the pole and we will win the race. So, that's kind of a lot of big words there to say we will do it, but I do believe I'm capable of doing it, and I know that guy's capable of doing it because he's a very smart individual.
Well, from the bottom to the top, brother.
That's right.
Well, Keith, it's great talking to you, man, and it's good hearing about that up there.
All right, not a problem. I appreciate you having me.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. You can get back to work now. I know you want to.
Oh, yeah. I got
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. See you.
Pretty wild, huh? Them guys do good. They go up there, the Florida guys from the TBRA go up there, and they do a good job every year.
Well, I did see but every year I see that, people complaining about the push trucks and all that.
Oh, sure.
Could you imagine being there's 4, sometimes 5 push trucks up there pushing these cars out that are running. All the other cars are running full bore around that track, and they're pushing them off. you know, no caution flags or nothing. Come in, fill them up, change the tire, back out. And like I said, this Eric Gordon, man, this is the eighth win for him.
Really?
At the little 500.
Yeah. We need to track him down.
Yeah. But the deal with Eric Gordon is he's got this pit crew that's just awesome.
That's
the key. That's the key. They fill them up and get them back out.
Do they have, like, when they have a caution, the guys leave the track physically and come back out, or do they?
Yeah, I believe they can come in, pit, go back out. You know, they stay on the same lap. It's just like at DeSoto, we do when the super late models are racing.
Yeah.
Under caution, if they come in, change tires or whatever, they stay on the same lap.
Right.
Okay. You know, they don't go down a lap or anything.
So let's shift gears, go back to Auburndale Speedway.
Auburndale Speedway.
Yeah. And we're talking with Ronnie Sims and Rex Guy, and we've now added Harold Crooms. Harold is going to be promoting a modified race in October up at Auburndale Speedway, and it's a very special race. Welcome to Real Racing USA, Harold.
Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Flip your cell phone.
Cell phone.
Now it's working.
There you go.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about the event and that you're a part of and how it all came about.
A couple years back, I talked to JT, like 3 or 4 years ago, and we talked him into running modifieds there once before. And we had, I think, 16 or 17 cars show up, and kind of get choked up.
Go ahead. Take your time, man.
I've always wanted to run a memorial race for my dad.
Yeah.
I go to the Pete Orr Memorial every year, and I mean, I'm in tears in the stands. And Auburndale's where my dad ran. A lot of people knew my dad. 15 years ago to this year was the last race he ever ran at Auburndale. It was a 50-lap Sarah race on October 24th, which was my birthday, the last birthday I ever spent with my dad.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I picked the date. And I want that to be a special weekend. And I'm always on Karnak, and everybody complains about nobody pays nothing, and nobody pays nothing to take the green. So I got with Rex and said, hey, look, I'll put up the $5,000 to win if you'll do 300 to start at least, and we'll have some cars show up. So I kind of did it to remember my dad, because he's special to me and my family, and just to help Auburndale out. And, I mean, I hope to see a race.
Well, there's no doubt it'll be a special event, and there's no doubt you'll see a race. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you guys are fully we have phone cell interrupt us.
Phone cell interrupt us.
Next, no, that's called Nextel interrupt us.
So Ronnie, what kind of special things will y'all do to help get this race going?
We're going to help Harold get all the festivities and all in order to make sure that we put on a good race for him and for his dad. October the 20th is also a special day. It's my birthday. So
that's the date, October 20th.
October the 20th.
You're paying $5,000 to win.
That's one of my kids' birthdays.
Guaranteed from me.
100 lap. Is it a 100 lap race? Is that what it is?
100
laps. 100 laps.
Cool. So everybody.
Wow.
That's
incredible. Yeah.
$5,000 to win. I think you'll have a couple modifieds.
Everybody that's complained about nobody paying nothing.
Right.
And all that. Bring your car. Show up. Put up or shut up. It's on. I mean, it's going to be the biggest race of the year, I really hope. So I've wanted to do it for a long time, but I wanted to make it big, and I think it'll be big.
Well, you know, this is cool on a lot of levels, but particularly with just the open-wheel modifieds by themselves, I don't understand for the life of me why the promoters around Florida don't get it together and really take care of this division, because it is the most short of the wing sprints, like TBA or wing sprints.
They're intense.
It's intense when you get 25 of these bad boys out there. I mean, it's really intense, way more than super late models. I mean, because you never know what's going to happen. They're high-powered. They're loud as, you know, ungodly loud. And I always thought when I first got involved with stock car racing back in the early 90s or mid-90s, whatever, when we started going to the track at DeSoto, that was the most exciting class. And
I talk to fans, and that's what I hear from fans in the grandstands, just the regular old people who, you know, don't know all the politics and all that, just regular fans who go and pay their money, find it's the most exciting thing they can go see.
I remember them very well. They kept us very busy on the safety side.
Sure. So, I mean, it's really good to see. I'm sure you'll get a good turnout. And promoting it way in advance like this is
– Right. Well, yeah. I think Rex has talked about running a couple races before then.
Yeah.
And I think if it'd be good practice for anybody that wants to come out and get ready for it.
Right.
I mean, if we can get 25 on a regular Saturday night over there so they can get their car worked out for that race, I mean, try and do a little bit of promoting for Rex. But,
yeah.
I mean, I have nothing to do with Arbondale Speedway. I live in Arbondale, and, I mean, I've been racing for 4 years, running Orlando, and I ran St. Pete before they shut down, and I never ran Arbondale because, I mean, it was a joke. So now, I mean, I hope things get turned around, and I hope to see modifieds there and stuff that people want to come watch. I mean, nobody wants to go watch scramblers run around, and I hope they come see me at the racetrack on Saturday and tell me how they're Superman. But
yeah. No, that's cool. You know,
what, I mean, they have to be there. They, I mean, they're what makes the racetrack. But I mean, the people in the grandstands come to see fast cars.
Right.
And I mean, everybody can't afford a fast car. I mean, I can't. I have one, but I can't afford it. I mean, it's all I can afford. So, but I really hope to see Arbondale turn around and be the place it used to be.
You've seen some big changes in 4 weeks, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
Rick, what's the deal with the? Is you know, I'm ignorant, you know, about anything.
You're ignorant, yeah.
With the technical end of, we'll let that go. With the technical end of thing, but is this one of those things where the motor rules and all that kind of stuff?
No, that's up to y'all. I mean, how are y'all going to run that? Big motors, weight. What are you going to do about that? How many cars are you going to let? What cars are you going to let in?
My opinion is 7 pounds per cubic inch. We haven't really gotten into that, but I really feel 7 pounds per cubic inch. It don't matter how big your motor is at Arbondale. I mean.
That's what we're running at DeSoto, right? Isn't that 7 pounds per cubic inch?
I believe so. But, I mean, a Gulf Coast motor will run with an SB2 motor
at that track, a big motor would be at,
you show
at
up
a
with 18-degree motor or SB2 motor, you ain't going to run with a Gulf Coast motor at Arbondale. There's no way.
Because the track's just not big enough.
Right, it just ain't big enough to use the motor. So.
Well, that's like when we had the Hoosier Goodyear War at Sunshine. And the Sarah cars versus the big motor cars and stuff.
Right.
And the little motors won.
Right. Yeah, on the quarter mile.
Yeah.
Go to Lakeland, different story.
Different right. story. Yeah. Whole different story.
That's cool. So you really aren't concerned, Ronnie, about the
– No, not at all. And like Harold said, we hadn't got a chance to sit down and go over exactly what rule package we're going to have. But we'll put it out in plenty of time for everybody to know exactly what they're going to be up against.
Yeah. Enough, I mean, great cause. You're finally getting your wish.
So you're making it's 5,000 to win.
5,000 to win, guaranteed. 300 to start.
And what about the rest of the field?
Basically, we haven't totally come up with that.
But 300 to start.
But 300 start. And Rex, basically, I came in and sat down with Rex and I said, look, this is what I want to do. I'll put $5,000 up, but that has to go to the winner. And if you can set it up as if you had a 100 lapper or any other track had a 100 lapper, what they would pay for a 100 lapper. Take your payout and start it with first, and you pay first through the rest, and I'll take care of whoever wins.
They normally give 1,000, 1,500.
Right. Well, that's what we was talking about, like 1,500. But that's on Rex. I mean, I'm guaranteeing $5,000 to win and 300 to start. That's what we're bringing to the table, and Rex will work the rest out. Which, I mean, we've kind of got it all worked out, but I'm not throwing no numbers in there because that's Rex.
How many cars are you going to start?
He said 32. We'll start on
wow.
So, 32 cars
wow.
at Auburndale?
28.
They're still going to be.
That's
the leader's going to be touching the back end of the
pack. All you did was remove one or two cautions there. Come on.
But the question is how many will actually show up? 45, 50?
There should be a ton.
I'm hoping for a Concy race. And
they're already calling from Ohio.
Wow.
$5,000 to win. That's big money.
Concy race will be as big as the other.
We're also doing like New Smyrna does with the Governor's Cup and selling laps for the leader laps.
Okay.
$100 a lap. And I've already personally sold two laps. I called Teddy Nelson and talked to him, and he's already obligated for two laps.
Well, you just sold another one because Short Track America is in for one.
We'll take one.
There you go.
All right.
I'll do one too.
Wow.
So there's four laps right there.
Right. Well, I mean, I basically did this. I mean, I own a small business. I own a truck repair business in Lakeland.
Yeah.
And
what's
the name
of it?
And
let me tell you what.
What's the name of your business?
Crooms Fleet Services.
Okay.
Let me tell you what. This is Crooms my guy Fleet that takes Services. Care of my trucks sitting right here.
Really? Takes care of Track Rescue's trucks?
This is him right here.
Is that right?
This is him.
Oh, that's why you guys were doing the hand. You knew each other.
That's right. Huh? And that's why my stuff is running, because this guy knows what he's doing.
And you drive your stuff all over the country and Canada.
That's yeah. right.
Wow. Oh, I thought you flew your stuff around.
Yeah, Jackie was in Canada earlier, wasn't he?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
morning, just a this couple morning, hours ago.
Yeah. It's a fast jet.
The Lear's parked out back.
It's a real fast jet. So okay, that sounds funny. Like it's going to be a really
good. I think that I know that. As the tracks, everybody looks at the track as they don't pay enough and they don't do this. But I mean, they're in business. If there's nobody there, if they're not making money, they can't afford to pay $5,000 to win. And I think if your business is doing good, you should step up to the plate and say, "Hey, this is what I love to do. This is what I love to be around." Step up, get with one of the tracks, whichever track you like. It ain't got to be Arbondale. Step up and say, "Hey, look, I want to do this, or I want to sponsor this." I mean, whatever it is, have your night at the track for your company. Step up to the plate and spend a little bit of money. I mean, you ain't got to put up $5,000. I mean, that's
right.
That's a lot of money to throw on the plate. But, I mean, that race is going to be a special race to me, my family, and all the people that I'm associated with. And hopefully it'll be – I'm hoping that next year, I hope that Rex calls me and says, "Dude, we made so much money last year, and we had so many cars. That was such a big hit. We'll put up to $5,000 this year because we're having that race again." And that's what I'm hoping for. And
that's cool. Now tell us a bit more about your dad and
yeah.
his racing career.
Basically, he raced ever since I was born. He used to run the V32 car at Arbondale and Lakeland back when they ran both of them, Super 6 car. Always running number 5 before that, Dodges. He was known for as a Dodge man. I think he won seven straight championships in a row between Lakeland and Arbondale. And, I mean, anybody that was around that area knows who he was. He passed September 5th of 1993. He passed away in an automobile accident on the street. And, I mean, he just – he was a class act person. I mean, there's nobody that's ever raced with him that can step up and say, "Hey, he did me dirty," or "He did me wrong," or – there's no official that can say, "Hey, he cussed me out," because he wasn't that kind of man. He was the kind of man that if you got into something with him, he shook your hand and it was worked out. There was no "I crashed you" or none of that. He'd pass you on the outside clean at Arbondale and lap you the next lap. So, I mean, he was the Eddie Kings and Castleberries and the people from the 80s, they know who Harold Grooms was.
Yeah. And I can attest to that. I was there, and he was truly a gentleman, a class act, as he said, racer.
That's cool. So now what is the name of the actual name of the race?
The Harold R. Crooms Memorial 100.
Cool.
And we're actually hoping, I think Rex is going to try to get some corporate sponsorship in on it to make that night as big as we can make it.
Get some contingencies right. and things. And so if somebody wants to get involved either by buying laps or becoming getting some contingency awards to you, how do they go about that?
They can contact me, they can contact the track either way.
Just contact the track?
Yeah, yeah. Either way. I think it'll be a gigantic race. And I think that the late model drivers, the super late model drivers, they'll be asking for somebody for a modified to drive. So maybe Schofield will be there. We never know. So
yeah.
But I really, just to say to everybody, if you still have your dad, like Schofield has Danny, and I mean, if Schofield didn't have Danny, he would be something, but he wouldn't be what he is because that's a big part of his life. And be thankful for the people you have around you, even if it's not your dad. Just be thankful for the people you have around you that help you to be the person that you are. So, because they might not be there tomorrow. So,
it's very cool, Harold. Do you have some photographs that you could maybe get us?
Yeah, get yeah, to I can us. Do that.
Cool. All right, man.
That's going to be a cool event.
Absolutely. I'm
looking forward
awesome.
To it.
Rick?
Yes? You want to take a break?
Yep.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Be there for the thunder and excitement of Super Late Model Racing. When the best racers in Florida take off the Highbank three-quarter mile of USA International Speedway in the guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown. Round one for the Sunbelt Super Series Late Models comes your way on Saturday night, June the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Make your plans to be there. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223 or check online at usaspeedway.com. The guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown at USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun. McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
If you want to talk to Bill, Jack, and Rick right now, get to the phone and dial 941-748-3490 and join the show live on air.
Short Track America reserves the right to answer stupid questions with even more stupidity.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
For you, the daily commute isn't simply a drive to the office. It's a hands-on exploration deep into your schnoz.
I'm going in now.
With pinpoint accuracy and sheer determination, you dig for boogers like miners dig for gold.
Hit the jackpot!
And why do you do it? 'Cause the windows are up and you think we can't see you. We can.
How you doing?
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh nabber of the nose nugget. We'd like to shake your hand, but you'll have to wash it first.
Mr. Innocent Nose Pay.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck. You're listening to Short Track America.
Okay, it's Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505. Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida.
Downtown sparkling Bradenton.
Southern Tampa Bay.
Southern Tampa Bay.
Florida.
Not far from everyone.
Right.
Guess who I have on the phone?
Who do you have on the phone?
I got somebody that everybody probably remembers.
Remembers?
Remembers from years back.
From who?
Rick Day.
Rick Day.
What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
All right, we're doing pretty good. Jack wandered off, of course, like he always does.
Jack's off in the other room now.
You know, that's nothing new for Jack. He's never where he's supposed to be.
Nah, hell no. So what's up with Rick Day?
Oh, just trying to survive. You know, this wonderful industry we're in, it's always something going on one way or the other.
So what exactly happened up there, Rick? Can you talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were managing a facility out here at San Antonio Speedway, and it was a 32-year-old facility, and everybody praised the new Toyota plant company, which was great for the community, and it put a lot of jobs in the area. But what it did is it annexed our property into the city, and being under county regulations for 31 years, annexed into the city, they wouldn't grandfather anything. Make a long story short, they come out and inspected us because we were a publicly attended facility, and they ragtagged us on 5 out of 6 inspections for not being up to code, electrical, plumbing, building, yada, yada, yada. And with my boss not owning the property, he said shut it down. He wouldn't pay for the repairs, and neither would the owners. So we were done at that point.
So basically the new business in town ran the old business out.
Yes, sir. They're doing what they call a Southside initiative. Southside of town over here was really
just as well.
The, I don't want to call it the slum side of town, but it wasn't the best of the four corridors, as they call San Antonio. And what Toyota went on there, part of their plan called the Southside initiative, was to bring the area, spruce it up, bring it up, clean it up, whatever you want to call it, and just so happens we were one of the first entities to get hit by it. Across the street, they're putting in 1,500 new homes, and on the other corner of the street, they're putting up a hotel, two hotels and a strip mall, and they're just going up and down Highway 60 where we were at, hitting all the salvage yards and all of that, and basically forcing them out of business, too. So,
basically, a corporation that's coming in into NASCAR now and making a big deal out of how they're helping racing and all that has basically killed a historic racetrack.
Right. NASCAR helping nobody but themselves.
One more nasty car little thing there.
Nasty car.
Mm-hmm. Well, with my association being with Hooters and other touring organizations, NASCAR ain't for nobody but themselves, and that's why they're called the 800-pound gorilla. There ain't nothing you can do about it. They're going to be number one, always will be, and that's just the way they are.
But that's a damn shame. To take a track with all that history and to just kill it for no reason.
Oh, yeah, 32 years.
Rick, there's not a whole lot of racing, short track racing in Texas, is there?
No. The dirt racing is going pretty good around the area, but believe it or not, as big as Texas is, there was only 4 asphalt tracks in the state of Texas: Corpus Christi, Houston, Motorsports Park, Thunder Hill Raceway, and San Antonio Speedway. San Antonio Speedway is closed. Corpus is on its last leg. We hear rumors of Thunder Hill, and then there's Houston. And Houston ain't doing real good itself. They just put out an announcement on their purses that the teams have to sign in under their own class at the back gate, and whatever they bring through the back gate, they get 75% of it for a purse. So in essentiality, they're racing for nothing.
Man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's a weird deal.
Who was the name of that company again? I didn't catch that.
Toyota.
Toyota?
Toyota.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
They just built, that's where all the new Toyota Tundra pickup trucks are coming from.
Excuse me while I throw up.
Not Toyota for the community itself, because it brought about 4,000 jobs to the community. But in essence, it forced us out of business. So that's the bottom line, no matter how you want to look at it. But, it was good for the community, bad for the older businesses.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm.
So where does Rick Day go from here?
Well, he's kind of weighing his options right now. I've got, believe it or not, there is a group that has stepped up to the plate in the last, they've been talking about the last 2 months, but I've got an agreement with a new group called Texas Energy that is in the possibility, in the process of building a new racing motorsports multipurpose complex here just outside of the San Antonio city limit. It's going to entail a half-mile asphalt oval, a 3/8 mile dirt track, a drag strip, and a hotel to start with, on about 3,000 acres that they've acquired. And I've got a basic agreement that I'll go to work for them on June 18th. So I landed on my feet once again.
Well, there you go. And down here in Florida, guy from North Carolina said the other day, I was talking to him about racetracks and how it's hard to keep them, and there's nowhere to build the new one. And people from different geographical areas get different conceptions about what things are like. I had to explain to the guy that, most of Florida is water, and water that, or land that's underground or underwater or whatever. I have this conception that Texas has a lot of open spaces. Is that still true?
Yeah. There's areas outside of the city limits, but there's smaller city politics you got to deal with there. But there is places that it could be done. And the problem is you don't want to get too far away from the city to be able to draw your crowd and your participants. So you got to be careful of the region and the area that you definitely look at. We're lucky that this spot that they're talking about building is just outside of the city limits, but yet it's still in Bexar County, which is where we're at here. So we're in pretty good shape. It's not real close to town or nothing, but yes, it's close enough to San Antonio for a 20-minute drive. They could be there as a spectator. So all in all, I think it's going to be a pretty good piece of property.
Good. I hope that works out. You know, you've been around a while, and of course you had a very successful series down here in Florida, the Sarah Modifieds and late models, and you know, you understand probably as well as anybody that's been in the game the politics involved. Now, you recently just did some work with the ASA, and you've worked with other traveling series like the Dirt Late Model Series and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I traveled with Hooters.
Yeah, you've traveled with
Dirt Car Series.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. We're not talking now about the politics of governments. We're talking about politics inside racing. Is the politics of racing in Florida dissimilar from the rest of the country, or is this status quo around the country?
Well,
come on, Rick. Tell me the truth now.
Some reason don't like the local touring series. I think it personally it helps the deal to help build motorsports. A lot of racetracks look at it as you're taking money and cars away from them, so they do everything they can do to kill it, or that they want to have their own and monopolize their own deal. So in that aspect of them trying to monopolize it and control the whole deal, yes, it's worse than Florida. North Carolina, they got the UARA Cool Steel Series that goes to a lot of the racetracks. The ASA, with between the North, South, and National Tour, it composes almost 30 different racetracks. On the national traveling deal, they welcome the touring series. For some reason, on the local level, they try and squash it.
So there's animosity from track owners. This is pretty much universal, what you're saying, that there's animosity from track owners towards traveling series, and that's a nationwide thing?
I wouldn't say too much a nationwide. It's probably from state to state. Every state's got their little traveling deal. It's just hard to say, I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, I know more about the Florida deal because I was involved in it. So everything else I've done has always been on a national-type tour.
Yeah. So you may end up staying out there, and you may end up going somewhere else. Is that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've got a tentative agreement. We've still got a few more I's to dot and T's to cross, but we've got a tentative agreement on stuff, and we'll see what happens. But our target date is June 18th for my start of employment with the new company. But if that falls through, I'm coming back to Florida.
If that falls through, watch out, Florida.
Rick Day coming back.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can see if we can raise some havoc even with some of the.
All right.
All right, Rick. It's good, always good to talk to you, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, good talking with you, man. Is there anything else you want to let us know about before we let you go?
No, not really. I mean, everything's going good. Looking forward to it. I will be probably back in Florida here in a little bit for 2 or 3 weeks regardless and see what happens there. But right now we're going to hang tight here in Texas for a while and go from there.
All right, man. When you come back to the Sunshine State, you got to stop in and see us on Tuesday night.
Yeah, we got to have you in here live.
We can do that.
Cool.
All right, Rick, good talking to you.
Okay.
All right, take it easy.
A voice from the past.
Ronnie Sims.
He's always funny when he does his little hand thing.
Could we have him come back up here a minute?
Jack's doing hand gestures.
The hand type.
It's radio, Jack.
All right. We're going to be talking to Gene Crane from USA International Speedway in just a few minutes. But I wanted to ask Ronnie some other things about. Did you have something there, Rick?
Oh no, I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. So, what's your biggest challenge up there at the little Adale?
I think just getting the program back to where it should have been.
getting finished up on the facilities, getting the race fans back in the stands. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the racers and the fans.
One thing that I always have a pet peeve about is I cannot for the life of me understand why racetrack food has to be poor. I've said, you know, if a racetrack, if a racetrack could have food that's good enough to get people, let's go out there because they got the best burgers in town. Now you got another reason to draw to get people to the racetrack.
Hey, we have great food out there. We've got Chef Rob and his crew out there.
Chef Rob?
Chef Rob and his crew is out there.
All right, Chef Rob.
I mean,
I like that.
Fantastic food. Outstanding food and reasonably priced.
Cool. Anything else that you want
to... And we have Rob in the studio with us, by the way.
Let's bring over Chef Rob over here for just a minute.
Chef Rob. Rob.
We always like Chef Rob.
See, he didn't know that we was going to do this to him.
Hey.
All right.
Instead of where's the money, where's the food?
Yes, it's not often that we get a chef on our show. Pick that microphone up there.
Make
Rob.
Sure it's
Rob
up.
And Jack, yeah, Jack can eat a lot.
I can't believe they didn't bring any samples.
We didn't bring any samples because we want you to come to Speedway and sample.
We'll do it. Oh, yeah, okay. We'll do it.
All right. So Rob, what makes your deal special over there? What you got going?
We're trying to put a real fresh product in front of you whenever you're there. And we're looking for feedback, too, to find out exactly what people want.
Yeah. Prime rib.
And
within shrimp.
Within reason.
Within reason. Yeah, but did you understand what I was saying about, you know, there's no reason. I just can't imagine why a racetrack food should be pretty good. I mean, it's a good reason to draw people.
Yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be good. It shouldn't be fresh. It shouldn't be, part of the reason, part of the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're putting on, we're there for entertainment. The guys, Ronnie's heading up a great show. The guys that come out there to run their cars put on a great show, and you know, we need to keep up our end of the bargain, too.
All right. Well,
that's
cool.
Great. Well, speaking of great shows,
yes.
Weekend at USA International Speedway.
Big one.
First leg of the Triple Crown.
First one.
And with us on the air right now, it's Gene Crane. Gene, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. About yourself?
Oh, we're doing real good up here at the Snook River Grill.
That sounds good.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on this weekend.
We've got the first leg of the Guaranteed Concrete Florida Triple Crown. We'll get that kicked off this weekend. Race time's at 7:30 for the Catch 47 presents the Bright House 200. That's for the Fast Car Sunbelt Super Late Model cars. And, of course, we'll have the Fast Car Pro Trucks in action as well. They'll race 50 laps following the 200-lap feature.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome thing. But the real deal this weekend is who can stop Jeff Schofield.
He's been tough. He's been real tough. But I would expect we're going to see just about anybody who is anybody in the state of Florida roll in to try to knock him off the perch there. And, of course, they're tuning up. This weekend is 200 laps in the first leg of the Florida Triple Crown. And then coming up in August is the Florida State Late Model Championship and that Midas Jewelers ring. Championship ring. So these guys are setting their sights for some high goals.
Well, there's one thing about late model racing and in Florida. If it's happening at Lakeland, they're going to be there.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. Expect a full field of cars, some very strong race cars, some of the best race cars around the state to show up. And who knows, maybe a few guys will tow in from out of state.
No doubt about it. I mean, what we had earlier this year with the Speed Fest, guys from all over the place, awesome race, right down to the wire, usually the way it is at Lakeland.
Exactly. We add the pit stop criteria into it, and it certainly makes it a much more interesting race as well, because now normally a lot of these guys don't run but 100, 100 quarter, maybe 150 laps somewhere. Run at 200 laps, you add the pit stop into it, now you've got to depend on that crew as well to get you out, get you in position to be able to make a run for the checker.
So it's a little different format this year. You have the Florida Triple Crown is typically run at different tracks. This year it'll all be at Lakeland, three different races. They're all 200-lap races, is that right? And also the second question would be, why is it set so that all the races are at Lakeland this year?
Well, Guaranteed Concrete came up, and they wanted to sponsor. Obviously, we run super late models on several occasions throughout the summertime at Lakeland, and they wanted to sponsor the races and bring it in, and it just seemed like a good opportunity to bring the Triple Crown in. They wanted a longer race, not the 100 and a quarter laps that we had been running. They wanted a longer race with the pit stops, and with that being brought into play, the pit road that we have at Lakeland allows a much safer environment for those pit stops to, be, to take place.
Yeah, and 200 lap races at Lakeland are they certainly are a lot of fun. Now, there's new ownership at Lakeland effective this month, or last month, I guess. What can you tell us about that and what changes fans and drivers would be expecting at Lakeland over the next year?
Well, actually, I know we've changed owners, but that's about all I really know right now. As you know, Jack, I'm on the road with the Hooters Pro Cup Series all the time, and Billy and I, since the ARCA race, have been working via telephone and email back and forth. So you actually may know a little bit more about it than I do. I hope I still have a job. I think I do.
That's it. You're fired.
Well, there's a reason we have you on the phone, Gene. I think you still have. Yeah. I think you still have a job.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. If I have to, I will. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hooters Pro Cup, Gene, how's that gig going?
Pretty good. We had a great race up in Madison, Wisconsin this past Saturday night with the Northern Division, and Gary St. Amant was tied with Clay Rogers going into that event. Rogers ran the Mansfield truck race and couldn't get to Madison in time to be able to start his car, so he's tumbled in the standings. Gary St. Amant had a third-place run. Benny Gordon was the winner up there this past weekend, and Gary St. Amant now has sole possession of the point lead, and Jody Lavender in that Grease Lightning car currently is second. So it's looking pretty good. We've seen a big increase in the Northern Division. It continues to get stronger and stronger every year. And then, of course, we go Southern Division racing this Saturday night, Jefferson, Georgia.
And with Benny Gordon in that Northern Division, when he comes to the track, it's kind of like Schofield in Florida. When Benny Gordon shows up at the track, he's got a target on his back.
Certainly does, although he probably feels like he had more than a target, maybe a kick-me sign on his back the last two races. He had some terrible luck, just getting caught up in traffic, tearing the car up, was contending in the top 10 at South Boston, the season opener, and he and A.J. Frank got together on the back straightaway. Then we went to Shenandoah Speedway in Virginia, and he got caught up in traffic trying to work to the front, so his season was not going quite to his liking, so a win certainly turned that around for him.
Well, that's cool. You know, and back to the deal coming up this weekend at USA International Speedway, because the ASA late model South Division race has been postponed up because of the wildfires up around South Georgia Motorsports Park, you're going to get a few more racers that wouldn't normally have made it because I talked to David Wilson, and they have already changed their plans, of course, and they'll be at Lakeland. And I haven't talked to Jeff Choquette, but I don't have much doubt. I would expect that Jeff will be there too.
Right. We haven't seen an entry list or an expected entry list from FastCar, and normally we don't, but you can certainly expect anyone that's definitely in the top 25 in points are definitely a high consideration to be there. And then, of course, add everybody else into it. Should be a good show. Looking forward to it. It's too bad South Georgia has got the situation they've got. I've got a buddy of mine that raced over here on the east side of Florida, builds engines up that way, about 30 minutes from the racetrack, and I know he was having to hustle some of his cattle around, and he's got horses that his daughter competes with and all, so they're having to take some evasive action to get out of that smoke and the fires fire lines as well. So it's a tough situation to feel for those folks up there.
Gene, if anybody wants some more information about the race this weekend, how do they do it?
Log on to usaspeedway.com, or for tickets, they can call 1-800-984-7223. Clarice will be happy to get them set up with tickets. We've got practice on Friday. That will be from 5 to 9:30. We'll practice again on Saturday morning, beginning at noontime. Qualifying's at 3, a driver autograph session at 6 p.m., and race time is 7:30.
Sounds good, Gene. Well, I'll be there, so I'll see you.
I'll be in Jefferson.
Oh, okay.
He's working the other places.
He's working the other.
Yeah. I got a bunch of hats I have to wear. I have to figure out, look at my schedule, see what I have to wear at what part during the day.
I know the feeling. Well, good talking to you, and good luck with everything up there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. And, again, race time is a Saturday night, 7:30 race time, 1-800-984-7223. That's race, if I could say it right.
All right, Gene.
Thanks
take
a
care.
Lot, Gene.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Always great to talk to Gene Crane.
And if you're on Karnak.com or Short Track America, there's ads all over the place for the race at USA. Click on it. It'll take you to a little commercial. And from there, take you to the USA International Speedway website. You can find out all about it.
All right.
And Chief Craig Clark will be there with Track Rescue and keep everybody safe. So, Chef Rob, look forward to the...
Well, I'll give you suggestions.
To the grand opening. I'll be there to test your food out on the grand opening.
We'll all be there.
And where is he? Rex?
Yeah.
Keep the beer ready. I will be there. I promise you. I'll be there. Come hell or high water, we'll be there.
Yeah, don't sell Jack's beer.
There you go.
The beer will be cold. We'll be sure of that.
All right. All right.
Ronnie Sims, thank you very much for coming in tonight,
thanks,
man.
Thanks a lot, Ronnie. It's great meeting you.
Jack, thank you all for having us. Y'all are doing a great job. We look forward to seeing y'all at the grand opening on the night.
We'll be there. Maybe we can come up with some of them special events. We'll see what we can cook up.
Maybe if you hook up some DSL, maybe we can broadcast that modified race.
Yeah. That's something we can talk about because we're into doing that.
Absolutely.
All you need is high-speed connection at the track. And because we're broadcasting the ASA race at New Smyrna on the 23rd.
We'll put that race worldwide.
And, we've already done a few
races. Have high-speed connection.
We'll get together with you guys and see what we can work out.
Oh, no doubt.
Harold, I think we can handle it, brother.
We've done
it helps to have
of
friends
kind of
in
thing.
Low places.
But thanks a lot for coming in and joining us tonight, man. It was
Craig,
fun having you.
You want to take a quick break and
then we go drag racing.
Go drag racing. Go straight lining.
Hi, I'm Scott Dolly, driver of the number 74 Bomber DeSoto Super Speedway. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Be there for the thunder and excitement of Super Late Model Racing with the best racers in Florida. Take off the High Bank three-quarter mile of USA International Speedway in the guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown. Round one for the Sunbelt Super Series Late Models comes your way on Saturday night, June the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Make your plans to be there. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223 or check online at usaspeedway.com. The guaranteed concrete Florida Triple Crown at USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Karnak.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Karnak.com for more information.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help Racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
I bet it was a good one. Coming in that one?
Get a wreck from the line, too?
No, all we got is the two and go in there with one of the things. We can't handle three, unfortunately.
You can't handle three?
No.
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
We got their attention. Guess who we got on the line, Jack?
Your microphone, Jack.
Turn on your mic, Jack.
I was right, Jack. Last time, and I think I'll be right again.
You're not right.
I have no idea who we have on. Who do we have on the line? This is Real Racing USA.
We're going drag racing now, baby.
All right.
We're going drag racing.
Motorcycles. All Harley drag racing?
We got the main man on here. We got two of them. We got Stage and Stevie.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, Stevie.
And tell us who you have on the line with you also.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a young man on the line right now. This is Doug Horn. And this weekend, Doug was really on his game. He was at the Stonebound Harley-Davidson Southern Nationals. And Doug, ask you just a few questions. You had a great weekend, but first off, I want to ask you just how long have you been involved in this? I know you're 19 years old, and you are on top of a nitro-burning Harley-Davidson. What in God's name possessed you to want to do this?
Last year was actually my first year actually motorcycle drag racing. My dad went to a local race at Cecil County Dragway, my sponsor, and saw like a flyer for the Destroyer coming out, you know, the drag bike out of the box and everything, and he said, hey, want if I bought this, you know, would you ride it? And I said, yeah, and then, I mean, here we are. Last year we ended up 7th in the points in the nation, and I'm still riding that one. Now I'm riding the Nitro Harley.
Also, I think the people out there need to know that you were the rookie of the year, the All Harley Drag Racing Association. So that's a huge honor. Now, being a sportsman racer, you only did this for 1 year, and suddenly you jump up onto a 6-second ride. In fact, gang. Doug went 674 at 204 mile an hour to get to the winner's circle on this one. So I'll give you an idea. He is riding now. What is it like on a 6-second motorcycle?
It's crazy. I mean, all I had to base my experiences on was that Destroyer. And the Destroyer's I went 9-0s on it last year. It's a really fast bike. And jumping on this, I mean.
That's 3 seconds different, though.
yes, it is. I mean, on a nitro bike, it leaves so hard, and it steadily pulls the whole way towards the stripe. And I mean, it feels like if you stayed in it, if we had more track, it could probably pull a whole another quarter mile.
Wow!
Like on gas bikes, they'll just kind of feather out, you know, about the 880,000 foot, and that's all they have. So,
well, I'll tell you what, this weekend you had your hands full. Well, you qualified number two. But the man that you eventually had to run in the finals was Jay the Bulldog Turner. And for
yes.
A lot of you out there that aren't aware of Jay Turner, is probably one of the most competitive individuals, an excellent driver, a super fast ride. And he also, I believe, was number one qualifier, am I correct?
In both classes, yes.
Yeah. So great job. Doug come up with the number two qualifying spot. And when you think about it, it amazes me that Doug, you've been in this thing for 2 years. You're scrapping right at the top of the heap. I think you're number six in the points going into this race. Now, I don't know where you come out now after this points. Have you guys already figured out where you stand in the points now?
I don't exactly know. Right now, I wasn't even expecting to win the race. And for the points, I'm still trying to learn how to ride the bike. So points, I mean, the points are there, but I'm not really looking at points. We might come out fifth, if that. I'm not really sure.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to talk with your dad, And I will tell you, which I'm sure you're quite aware of it, but the fans aren't out there. And his name is Steve. And Steve is, to say the least, very excited and proud of his son. Your dad is quite a show. Whenever it comes to you going down that track, I'm telling you, it was really a lot of fun having a chance to talk with him and meet some of your gang.
Now, Stevie, you're in Sumter, South Carolina.
Right.
And we're here at Real Racing USA. We're talking with Steve LeTemp from Sumter, South Carolina, and we're talking to Doug Horn from Aberdeen, Maryland. And, Doug, I got a question for you. My name is Jack Smith. I have a question for you. For us mere mortals, what is it like? What kind of rush is it to go down a track at 200 miles an hour on a motorcycle?
I mean, it's awesome. Like, on a motorcycle, there's nothing holding you on. You have no seatbelt. There's no roll cage around you. You have no parachute, you know, to slow you down. It's just, it's amazing. You know, all you're doing is holding on, you know, with or holding on to the handlebars, you know, and your seat, you know, your butt's in the seat, you know, and it's crazy. It's just, the G-force hitting is just pushing you so far back in the seat, and the further down the track you go, the more tucked in you get. It's like, it just more it keeps wanting to push you back and back and back.
Now, what, this is Rick Angies, what possessed you to want to do this?
All last year, it was my father saying, we rode the Destroyer last year, and he tuned for me, and last year, all he said was he wanted to ride a fuel bike. You know, he loved the sound of them, loved to hear them fire up in the pit, like everyone does. You know, every fan that goes to an aged area race just wants to see the nitro burning bikes. And it was all him. He said he wanted to do it. And through mid-season, I mean, it was about Ohio. Then he turned to, hey, how about you ride this thing for me if I get it? So, like me, I mean, I definitely agreed to it.
Does your dad like you?
I hope. I love him. I love him.
Yeah,
he loves me, but I love him.
That's cool. There's no doubt. I think what happened is your dad probably realized, you know, that it was perhaps youth should tackle something this powerful. You know, and perhaps your dad said, you know, maybe I shouldn't be on this bike, you know. Let the boy try it.
Young bones heal faster, I think, is what his words came out of his mouth.
Well, I tell you, absolutely, you know, a great. Not only is this young man a fine young man, but the family and just everyone around him. With the opportunity I had to stop by and talk for just a little bit, it's a pleasure, and it's one of those things where you almost hate to leave their pit. And when you leave their pit, the last thing they say to you as you leave, hurry back. And that's pretty well a good description of what it's like going to one of these all-holiday drag races.
It's that family thing again we were talking about.
It's so important. Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be a thrill for you, Stevie, to be at these events and be able to broadcast them.
Oh, I get so wound up sometimes up in the tower. Sometimes I'm not quite sure what I said. Later on, my race director will inform me. Is that all good, Bill?
You sure it's not just old age?
there's some Alzheimer's.
Senility. I mean, that's what happens.
I agree with Doug's dad. You're not going to get me on one of those Harleys either.
Well, great. Hey, Doug, congratulations on your win, and we appreciate talking to you and Stevie, and we're going to take a quick break here and come back with some more.
Thank you.
All right, guys, be safe out there.
All right, Steve, hang on with us, man.
All right, thanks, Doug.
Thanks.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor.
Through the miracle of hypoallergenic adhesives, you transform us from mild-mannered accountant into roadhouse biker hooligan.
Hooligan.
Be it screaming skull or thrashing tiger, you've got a temporary alter ego for any occasion.
Flaming dragons.
Weddell says, I love you, Mom, like a heart with a sword through it.
You know I love you, Mama.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Fake Tattoo Inventor Guy.
We may not have been born to ride, but thanks to you, we can feel like it.
Thank you, Mr. Big Tattoo Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out
hey,
the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
And it's a great story to tell, too. I was one of the ones that talked about a probably first off, it's Rush Performance and Dark Pro Gas. Now you're not even qualified.
Back live from the Snook River Grill and Sumter, South Carolina. Ooh, Craig.
Stevie.
This technology.
Steve, it's really, don't you love this technology?
It's really great having you join us here on Real Racing USA, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Hey, we've got Steve, who have we got on the line? We got the winner from the SNS Pro Stock.
Well, before I go to he's won several of them. I just told you about the Pro Stock, but he also, there's a neat story. There's two stories to tell you. The first one I wanted to tell you about was the Rush Performance Exhaust Pro Gas. Where, Junior, now you got to remember this event, this is your event. I mean, literally, Stone Mountain Harley-Davidson is his sponsor, all right? It's all on the line. And Junior, I'm going to turn it over to you. It is final qualifying round here for Pro Gas, and you are not qualified. You haven't even gotten close yet. Tell us what you felt like. Well, it was actually Pro Stock that you're speaking of, and in the two rounds before, We had a skip in the motorcycle, couldn't find it, replaced everything in the world that we could, and just could not find it, found it in the last round, and it ran well.
Well, running well is kind of an understatement, I think, because you were just flat getting it all. I know there was one man out there who was really watching you close, and that was Greg Krennic. he had run, I'm going to say if I'm correct on this, 820s all day long, and at that last pass when you came up there, you just, you know, it was incredible. You went from a bike that wouldn't make it past the 330 to just literally flying. And Pro Stock, if I'm not mistaken, did you not? You went well, 816? No, yeah, 816, I believe it was.
Yeah, 816, and that's the track record for Atlanta. But you know, we generally qualify. As a matter of fact, I think last year, out of the 10 times that we ran, we qualified number one all but one race, and we've been first so far in these. We just had a problem, and I was afraid we weren't going to find it, but we did find it. It you know, and we had little transmission problems. Had it not been for that, I believe you probably would have seen about an 810, 812.
These transmissions on these bikes, they seem to be extremely extremely touchy. Is there a basic problem they have due to torque or something with these that affects the transmissions?
Well, in the Pro Stock class, you know, we run a straight shift transmission, and it's basically your standard Sportster transmission. Of course, now they've been worked a lot of work back cutting to the gears and whatnot. But what we're doing is probably putting about four times the horsepower that they were designed to handle.
Wow! So that's one of the reasons. This fact, in Pro Stock, I'm going to probably be talking about this just a little bit later, but Greg Krennic, who squared off against you in the finals, actually put a hole shot on you. He had a 003 on the tree, and I mean, boy, he hammered you at the tree, and it wouldn't shift, and I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, I couldn't believe it, you know, and I'm sure you thought the same thing.
Well, yeah, he did have a good life. We had an 033, which he beat me 300, but you know, that he had to go, and he knew it. And I figured I would be around 400 or 500 quicker. So, you know, you can give him a little bit, but you can't give him all of it.
Well, I know he put it all on the line. You know,
he cut a good line, and he's been doing a good job lately too. He's he's certainly come around, and in the last, you know, this year, he's really stepped up.
So now, you know, Junior, this is
a fact. As a matter of fact, the whole class has stepped up as a whole.
Because now, as the year's getting moving on into about mid-season, there are now about four guys that can knock on your door at any time.
And That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, Lozano Brothers 40 out of San Antonio, Texas, does a lot of the engines on this particular class. Not all, but a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys have got better equipment than we got, or not better, but later model equipment than we've gotten. And they just it's all in the tuning, and that's where Bob Papp comes in. And to me, there's none no better, because Bob, what we've got is just a good team. It's certainly not just me. All I do is ride. And Bob Papp tunes that thing. Lisa fires it up. And B.P. Whitmire's come on board here lately with checking, working with this program and our 60-degree program.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's extremely exciting to watch you run. Now, I did mention I got that confused on the one class. Tell me about the other class that you ran this weekend.
Well, what we've done, we have a 60-degree S&S engine that we bought from G2 Squared,
mm-hmm.
and or G2 Motorsports, and this is a 60-degree program that we're running in Pro Gas, and this is the first time. Well, we run it, tried to run it in Florida, but, down in Florida, we didn't get no qualifying, and Junior, I need to ride this thing. I hadn't ridden it very much. And this is actually the first time we've raced it, and, we've done pretty well. There's more in the motorcycle. But, we're learning. I'm trying to learn to ride a little better with this thing because it's got plenty of power, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, with talk about a class that's tight, there's about 20 guys that any one of them could be the points leader at a single leap and a bound. And Junior, you made that leap. You jumped up probably 10 or 11 places in the points with that win.
Man. Yeah, and we plan on taking it to what's the next one?
Right.
In Ohio, yes. We're going to take it up there and try running. But I'll tell you, running these two motorcycles and all my crew is in the 50s, kind of rough on us there at times.
Yeah, but I tell you what, there's been a lot of championships won with the old timers. Coming back, doing it one more time. And
well, I'll tell you, and it was really great being in Atlanta this weekend. To do as well as we did, and with the pro stock not qualifying, and with Greg and Laurie Becker there from Stone Mountain and Granite Mountain Harley-Davidson, my sponsors, greatest people in the world, really, to be honest with you. I got two great dealerships down here in Georgia, one in Conyers, one in Stone Mountain, and plus all my friends. It was just really a neat weekend.
Well, I tell you, you really shined, and you made it exciting, especially on that last shot on the qualifying. It was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's not going to happen, because here's a guy that's always number one. Suddenly.
And when it took off, and when I hit the button to go to second, it didn't shift, and I thought, oh, no. And I hit it again, and it took two hits for it, but, which kills us, scrubbed some of the ET off of it. But finally it went in second and went on down the racetrack. It was I was thankful that it run to 16, to be honest with you.
Well, I tell you what, while I'm announcing it, I'm watching the increments that you're going down, and all of a sudden I realized when you hit that eighth mile, I said, oh, my, here he goes. And, I mean, that thing took off like a rocket in high gear.
And I'll tell you, that just goes back to, Lozano Brothers making plenty of horsepower, Bob Taft tuning that thing. It just, what it does, it makes me look good and makes me look like I'm doing something special when it's actually not me. It's my crew that does it all for me.
Well, Junior, it sounds like you had a great weekend up there in Georgia, and you're in Conyers, Georgia?
That's correct, yes. We've been in Conyers here for a long time.
So that's awesome. And you won in two different classes, which is really amazing.
Amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, it was just a great weekend for us. And to happen down here in Georgia, like I said, with all my friends, got lots of people that we work with, Ken Studs with Bulk and Materials, Monty and Susan Milbury with MHB Paving, just a lot of people and lots of friends, and it was just a cool deal.
Well, great. It sounds good. We've got to jump to the other side of the country now and talk to some more people. And we appreciate you being here with us and Stevie on Real Racing USA.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, hang on, Stevie. Right. We're going to jump out to New Mexico here in a minute, I believe.
Be there for the thunder and excitement of Super Late Model Racing when the best racers in Florida take off the High Bank 3/4 mile of USA International Speedway in the Guaranteed Concrete Florida Triple Crown. Round one for the Sunbelt Super Series Late Models comes your way on Saturday night, June the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Make your plans to be there. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223 or check online at usaspeedway.com. The Guaranteed Concrete Florida Triple Crown at USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Tim Brink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
Yeah, when we did that with Tate Pierce, you remember where we did that?
You know, I cannot remember. I can't remember where that came from.
Tate and I were sitting in the tower at DeSoto Speedway after he'd won the limited race. We were doing the Saturday Night Live after the races.
I was thinking where we did that. I had no idea. I knew I hadn't heard it.
So just as you do in drag racing, we're shifting gears now. We're going from Georgia all the way out to Corrales, New Mexico, and talking also with Steve LeTemp of the All Harley Drag Racing Association. And, Steve, who do we have on the line with us?
This is Greg Krennic. And, Greg, you had a great weekend. You had your ups and your downs. But we'll start off on a high note. Greg runs in a class called Pro Modified, Samson Exhaust Pro Modified. Tell us about setting the new national record in that class.
Well, actually, we set it three times during qualifying. We broke it each round, and we got a little quicker as the day went. So, I mean, it's great when you break it. You got to do a lot of stuff when you break it, get different fuel tests, and make sure the weight's right and all that. So you're scrambling back to get back for the next class, which I run is pro stock, so it kind of gets a little crazy.
No, I like that.
Well, I've watched this bike run several times now, and it's just about as straight as an arrow, and that has to do with the rider on this as well, because these bikes are a handful. They have a huge amount of power, and I was just talking with Junior Pippen a few minutes ago, and we did discuss the fact that ask about the transmissions, and he said, these are basically stock transmissions with some mild modifications, and they're just not meant for the kind of power you put out of these things. I know when you in the pro stock race that you had a transmission that wouldn't shift. Is that what the problem was? Did something break inside that one?
Well, we had problems with the air shifter. We rebuilt it between third round and fourth round, and it didn't quite come around. And as a matter of fact, right now, Steve, my crew chief with who's got his company SA Racing, got both bikes apart right now trying to figure out what all went wrong with everything. So we got to get the pro stock. Doesn't look like it's going to make it to Norwalk, but we'll see what happens. But the pro mod, he said, looks good. We just need to replace the air shifter, and it's
well, I know you'd mentioned I couldn't believe now guys, you have to remember this pro stock bike, going back to the pro stock, this was the number 2 points qualifier. This thing was running 820s. And Junior Pippen, who is the bad boy in this class, managed to muster up an 816. And, Greg, you told me, you said that basically this bike was tired and you'd hoped that it was going to make it through the race. Apparently transmission didn't. But
No, not quite.
How about the specs on the inside of that motor? You have to love that. That's some good numbers, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Steve's done a great job. I think we're the only one running a big twin. Everyone else has a Sportster-based motor, so they can turn about 1,000 RPM quicker than we can.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to squeeze everything we can out of that, and he's doing a great job. And I'm just trying to shift it when I'm supposed to, so I don't wreck it too bad. And it seems that last shift kind of made put a little hurt on the motor, so it's kind of in Steve's trauma center right now.
Well, how do you look now in the points for Pro Stock?
Pro Stock, I think I'm I'm 1 point from second place in pro stock.
I knew that was going to be close because Bill Trammy was number two, and you were 23 points behind, I believe, going in. So you did gain on him then, so you're just 1 point out of second.
Yeah.
You're closing the gap.
Yeah, a little bit at a time. You got to do that. You got to take it one race at a time, one round at a time.
So we're not going to get to see the pro stock bike, you don't think, at Norwalk then?
Not unless we can get a miracle going on here. I've been starting to, you know, go up to Junior and rub on him for some of his luck, you know, see how that goes. But he's a tough one to catch, but it makes it fun.
Well, he mentioned earlier, I don't know if you're listening to that, but he's looking over his shoulder. And he knows you're there. Let's put it that way.
Well, there's a lot of folks coming up. You know, they're all, you know, you can catch up, but it's hard to pass.
Yeah, I understand. When we get into the Sampson Pro Modified, mm-hmm. here you've become a dominant figure, but there's somebody else now who's starting, just like you're chasing Junior over in Pro Stock. Got this guy by the name of Bordo that's coming up there, Randy Bordo. Tell me a little bit about him now. He's usually within a hundredth of a second of you in qualifying and on the runs going down the track. You guys had a meet at the very end. How was that race?
Randy's bike is tough. I mean, the two of us, I mean, from the very first race in Gainesville, on Sunday, it seems like Saturday my bike runs better. We seem to set the records and everything on Saturday, and on Sunday he gets his bike to run quicker every round, and we either meet in the semis or the finals. We've met in the finals now three times, and he's red lit on me twice, so you know that helps out there. But the bikes are about equal, and it's just a matter of which one gets the right tune at the right time.
Well, you know, there's also some other guys in there that are starting to really show up, too, now. Greg Kuypers, he's starting to look a lot stronger, and Donnie Upland, he seems to be making a move as well. Seems like there's about, once again, four or five guys that if you slip, they're going by you.
Oh, yeah, Donnie's bike's coming back. I mean, he had his bike tuned up real good for this race. It's coming on, so he's coming up fast. He's just got to... Everybody's got to watch their lights and make sure their rear tire hooks up. You know, we're running a 7-inch tire, so it's easy to break it loose. So,
you know, we talked a lot about the car, about the bikes and everything, but what I would like to know, just how did you get started?
How did I get started?
Mm-hmm.
I was on an Easy Rider's ride going around, and they were going up to the local drag strip, and they said, if you want to take a few shots down the track, bring a helmet. So I did, and said, hey, this is kind of fun. And I knew there was a guy down at the local Harley shop, which is now Thunderbird Harley Davidson, who's one of my sponsors. And it was a guy named Wayne Pugh, who's my teammate now. He was working at the parts counter, and I walked in, and I said, so tell me about this drag racing stuff. Because he was doing some of the regional stuff, and from that point on, the rest is history. We've been hitting the races and going along. He's only doing the Western races this year.
Hey.
He just got recently promoted. So,
hey, Greg and Stevie,
mm-hmm.
I hate to cut you guys short, but we're running out of time here. But congratulations on everything, and we want you all to stay safe out there, and we're going to catch up
every
with
week.
More
next
on
week,
every week.
8:30.
Tell us more, Jack.
And next week, same thing, same time. The last segment of our show on Real Racing USA every Tuesday night will feature the All Harley Drags, and we'll get more and more in depth and learn more about the drivers and what it takes to be a winner.
It takes a big set.
Yeah, buddy. I'm telling you. Stevie,
no doubt.
We just love what you're doing, man. And closing comments, Stevie?
Hey, guys. Tell you what. Norwalk, Ohio. Summit Motorsports Park. June 9th and 10th. The Rotor Harley-Davidson Ohio Bike Week Nationals.
Wow.
Get ready, guys. It is going to be wild. I'll have some stories to bring you on that one, no doubt, man.
Hey, you eat a pound of that ice cream for a dollar.
That's right.
Norwalk is famous for 1 pound of ice cream. You
any dollar.
Stevie, what is? Do you have an email address that people can send you comments about this segment of our show? Because I'll tell you what, Rick and I have talked about it, Craig and I have talked about it, and if we get enough people letting us know that they really like us talking about this and interviewing the All Harley Drag guys and gals, we'll put together a one-hour show every week just featuring you guys.
Absolutely.
So give us an email address so people can send you their comments and suggestions, and how about that?
Oh, that's great. Tell you what, guys, if you want to talk to Stevie, all you got to do is go SLETEMPT @SC.RR.com. And I promise you, I'll take you drag racing like you've never been before.
Stevie, it's great having you as part of the Real Racing USA crew.
Hey, it's an honor.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the great interviews tonight. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night, brother.
See you, Stevie.
All right, man. Them guys are way cool. Them guys are
way cool. Way
oh
cool.
Yeah, awesome. Drag stuff. Racing, baby.
Now, before we're going to run through Rick in a minute here, who we had on. You can get that prepared. Who we've had on tonight?
I didn't even write it down tonight.
Well, you have the list there. But before before you go there, I got a couple of quick announcements. Beginning a week or 10 days from now, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, that's when the Inside Florida Racing 2-hour show, 7 to 9 p.m. premieres.
Right.
Jason Beckner, myself, and the rest of the team. It's going to be a team effort.
Right.
We're going to have people from all of the announcers from all the tracks in Florida are going to be a part
announcers.
Of
announcers.
Yeah, they're all going to be a part of the show.
Why would you want to have an announcer?
The announcers and the writers are all going to be a part of this show.
Oh, the $20 crew.
Yeah, the $20 crew. And immediately following, beginning this Thursday night at 9 o'clock, and every Thursday from now on, is a whole new show called On the Chip, and it's going to feature in-depth interviews on the personal side of racing from NASCAR stars and other stars of top-level racing with Scott McAllister is the host, and that starts.
And why is it called On the Chip?
On the Chip, and you're going to have to listen to find out.
Oh, okay.
But there's a very good reason, and I'll give you a clue.
Yeah?
Rev limiters.
Oh, okay. The chips.
On the Chip. That begins this Thursday, and then from every week after, it'll follow immediately following the Inside Florida Racing Show on Thursday nights. So that's pretty cool. We were going to talk to Scott tonight, but we just got too many things going on.
And we were
going
to talk to Jason.
Yeah, but we'll get to them guys later.
Chris Mize got smoked out up there in Georgia.
We couldn't get a hold of the folks up there.
Yeah.
but couldn't get
a cell signal through.
We will get to them probably next week.
Yeah. We did talk to Ronnie Sims tonight, Harold Crooms, Keith Butler, Rick Day, Steve Myers, Gene Crane, Stevie Letem, Jay Turner, Junior Pippen, and Greg Corrales.
No, Krennic.
Krennic?
From Corrales.
Oh, Corrales. Man, we were all over the place.
Yeah, we were all over the
New
place.
Mexico,
the United States.
Maryland, South Carolina, Texas.
I'll tell you, we want your feedback, so send us an email at, what is that address? What is that address?
What's mine?
Address? Send it to Rick Angies
at Real Racing USA.
Yeah, send an email to Rick Angies at Real Racing USA. Let us know what you think we did good, what you think sucks, what we need to do better. Send us your opinions. Let us know what you like and
talk
don't
about
like.
It.
Hey, I got
stop
a
putting
go
naked.
Ahead.
Stop
ahead,
putting
Greg.
Naked pictures on the message board.
I want one of those. I want one of those at Carol's advertising.
All right, here's an important announcement that just came in. This is from Carol Wicks.
Uh-huh.
An important notice from Apple Computers. If there's any children around, get them out of the room because this is not for children.
This is adult.
Apple Computers announced today that it has developed a computer chip that can store and play music in women's breast implants. We're not kidding now. This is a real deal. It came from Carol Wicks.
It's real.
This is the gospel.
The iBoob will cost between $4.99 and $5.99. This is considered to be a major breakthrough because women are always complaining about men staring at their breasts and not listening to them. Thanks to Apple, everyone is now happy. And that's courtesy of Carol Wicks. Thank you, Carol, for the news.
Jim, I heard Jim from Ocala has already got.
He's already been kicked off the board for his comments.
Best Buy, $4.99.
You guys ready? Well, this has been another edition of Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill. Don't forget, coming up July the 24th, the Sunshine Speedway Reunion Show. Going to be a great one. Craig, it's next Tuesday night?
Oh, yeah.
7 to 9 p.m. Hey, it's great having you back,
Friday
man.
And Saturday. Friday and Saturday at Lakeland.
If we could only get our little Hansi back up here, it'd be just like old times, wouldn't it?
If I could ever drag you away from there and come up to the other one.
Yeah.
We should have, that should be an awesome race, too.
Yeah, it should be a great one. We got some good stuff this weekend. We got the Richie Pops Thorben Memorial Race this weekend.
Yep.
Of course, Pops Thorben, a great racer out there in DeSoto and across the state of Florida. So that's going to be a great one. Going to be a good weekend. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night right here live from the Snook River Grill. Real Racing USA. Good night now.
See ya.
One more time.